This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own.
You are listening to station WGN.
Six ten in the morning. Just checked, and the Oscars are now half over. They should be finishing up. I think it's noon, 12:30, 12:35 today. So we'll have live updates all morning. They'll eventually get to Best Picture. I actually quit. I quit. I bailed last night. It's the first time I've not watched the entire Oscars. And yes, I was tired, but I quit because I didn't like the show.
Yeah, I'm with you. Very, very weak, weak show.
I went to bed at 10 o'clock. It was done. It was 3.5 hours. So it was done, I don't know, 11:30?
It was just a little bit after 11 when it ended.
Yeah. So plenty of that later from Dean Richards. We'll get to that. A great Hawks win this weekend. Yesterday at the United Center, 3-2 over the dirty commie-helmed Washington Capitals. Alex Ovechkin did not score. Did he? I don't think he did.
He did not.
No, he did not.
No, he did not.
I was there. How do I not know he didn't score?
The Russian kid.
Yeah, thanks. And the Hawks had a couple of dumb penalties late, which made it more dramatic, but held on for the win. So, great game. One of the better games you've seen all season, Hawks fans. More on that later. And this weekend, Donald Trump saw Trump not able to denounce the Ku Klux Klan.
They love me.
Yeah.
They love me.
So, we'll get to all of that, but 6:11, we always start with this. Good morning to you, Paul Conrad.
Hey, how are you?
You know, I'm fine. How are you?
I am great.
Did you watch the Oscars?
I did not. I missed all of it.
Did you see any of the nominated films?
No, I did not do that either.
All right.
I really try to stay out of that area. You know how you're good in some areas and horrible in others?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't care.
You know, I was at the Hawks game yesterday, and I saw your boss.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Greg Easterly.
Yeah, nice guy.
Attractive general manager of Channel 9.
Yeah, a lot better looking in real life than you'd expect.
Yeah, it's funny how some of you guys are better looking on camera or off camera.
Right.
Yeah, you know, he's better looking in person.
He is a lot better looking in person.
And we weren't sitting close enough together, but by semaphore, I was able to communicate with him about your future.
Good.
Yeah.
And did you get it all squared away for me?
I'm not sure I read it right.
Oh,
yeah,
I don't know how he feels about me, to be honest with you. He kind of plays his cards close to his chest.
Well, every time I see you at Channel 9, you're busting for the door. Maybe you should stick around and go see him once in a while.
Well, that's the thing. Every time I show up, he doesn't want anything to do with me.
Ah, I see.
So, I don't know.
I wouldn't overread that.
Don't overread it?
Nah, don't overread that. How many other weather people do you have there at Channel 9?
Yeah,
it's not like there's more than you.
No, there's like a dozen.
Yeah, that's it.
Most of them are, like, smart. That's what worries me more than anything else. Hey, before we leave this topic of the Oscars.
Well, before you go back to the Oscars, I also saw someone else you worked with.
Oh, really?
Who? Yeah, Saturday night, did a charitable thing with Pat Tomasulo.
Oh, my friend Pat Tomasulo.
Yeah, he's a big fan of yours.
He is a big fan of mine. I'm a big fan of his.
He's kind of like the little brother you never asked for, isn't he?
And he's a good-looking guy, isn't he?
Yeah, well, I don't know if you're into that. But he did a nice job. We co-emceed for the second straight year, the Cal's Angels benefit.
Yeah.
And he spent most of the night talking about you. Oh, Paul's so great. Paul this, Paul that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did he make fun of me?
No, he really didn't. He did tell a lovely story, however, of one of the remote video bits that you guys did where apparently you were talking to some people who were offering hugs or cuddles.
Yeah.
He said someone offered to hug you, and you went, I'm out of here, and left him to be groped by strangers.
Yeah, I like to do that every once in a while.
Yeah, I laugh like you're laughing right now.
Yeah, I did kind of a wave, and I got to run.
Yeah. See ya! all right, now you were saying about the Oscars.
All right, so listen, this is, to me, you know, there's all this controversy around it, and to me, this is the biggest takeaway I have, right? Like, how the heck the Chipmunks movie does not get nominated is it's beyond me, right?
Like, that's why I started the hashtag Chipmunks Matter.
Right. Like, if you, I saw the last one that they did, and I don't know how many of your listeners, I don't want to ruin the ending.
Was that Chipmunks Back Mountain?
No, this is the Chipmunks Go to Miami or something like that.
Right.
I'm not exactly sure
what
the title was.
Well, you have a lot of kids, of course.
And let me just tell you, I don't cry often.
Right.
But the scene where he is in court adopting those chipmunks, and I hope that didn't give away the ending to too many people.
We're playing a clip right now.
It landed on me in such a tender way.
Yeah, sure, of course.
And, like,
it
is. I am sobbing.
Right.
And I'm thinking, what in God's name is wrong with the Oscars that this does not get any traction, right? Like, it's three squirrels who can sing, or
yeah.
chipmunks,
yeah.
that
yeah.
can
yeah.
sing.
You're right.
And it's a love story where they're adopted by a man.
And Chris Rock didn't mention it
not
once.
Not one word of it.
Not one time.
Like, listen, you can say what you want. You know, all this other stuff is fine, but let's get to some of the issues that really are at the heart of what's wrong with this country.
I think your passion about this is confusing and appropriate.
Yes.
They
were so adorable.
They were adorable.
Like, how you get three chipmunks to sing like that on camera. Like, I don't know if you've ever done any film work, but that's not easy.
No, it's not easy at all.
And it's, you know, chipmunks.
Your respect for rodents, I think, is well documented in history.
So, I don't, you know.
But I
got to
tell you, the overarching takeaway for me is Chris Rock's not wrong. I think we need less white people in general. I mean, I know
right,
a lot.
Yeah. Let's even it out, and let's start bringing more barnyard animals into this thing also.
Well, but I know a lot of white people that I'm not fond of, and I'm fully in favor of getting rid of them.
So anyway, you know, I feel strongly about it.
Yeah,
and
you do.
Not very many people are willing to get in there. But
well, I salute you for having the guts to come out and talk about it.
All right.
All right, enjoy your day, will you?
All right, I got to go.
Yeah, I know you do. I love how you try to say goodbye. All right, buddy. I hope that makes sense. Yeah, not
because
at all.
Sometimes when you go out on a limb,
yeah,
like
you're gutsy.
That, you get off and you think, oh, boy, I probably just made a fool out of myself.
No.
Not a fool. Clear on that?
No, totally fine. Yeah, right. Hold on 1 second.
It's chipmunks. I've never seen animals perform
Kevin?
Like
yes,
that
Dave.
Before.
Let's make sure we don't book Paul.
Okay.
I mean, until his meds are evened out. Make sure his meds are evened out before we do that again. Maybe we can talk to Dr. Most.
Done.
It's 6:17, and Mary's off this week. Do we know where Mary is, Andrea? I know it's not your turn to watch
Mary is on vacation this week.
She's on assignment?
Enjoying some fun in the sun, I think.
Adam Chappelle is at Traffic Central on the 7th floor. Lonely up there?
Very. Wow. Very lonely.
Well, good luck. We're not coming up to greet you, but we hope it goes well this morning.
Fair enough.
Oh.
Six 21. Now that all the awards are over, it's time to get to what really matters, and that's the second annual Stevie Awards. You remember last year we awarded Stevies to a number of prominent Chicagoans, including people that actually work here at the Tribune Tower.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the Stevie Awards are awards in excellence for stuff that happened on the show.
Yes.
Or were related to something that happened on the show. Or an occasional award for achievement in stupidity that's recognized by the show.
Right. So we use the term excellence kind of loosely.
Excellence could mean a lot of things. Like, remember when bad meant good?
Yes.
Yes. This is sort of the same thing. So we've come up with a few categories and a few moments from the show. But here's the problem. Like, if you see me today at 10, like we do a Monday morning meeting.
Yes.
We used to do a meeting every day, but, you know, Dave doesn't pay attention, so I had to make it once a week.
I always pay attention.
So we have a once a week meeting now. And the good news is Mary's not here this week, Dave, so the meeting will be really quick.
Done quickly. Yeah. It'll be done. Poor Mary.
And Adam, you're not invited to the meeting because what do you know?
I mean, fair
right?
enough.
Right? You, yeah. Is it? I like Adam.
I like
enough,
Adam.
Fair
so
enough's
sweet.
A good character. Adam's a fair enough guy. He's just going to say fair enough a lot every time I talk to him this morning. So I have a meeting this morning, and at the meeting this morning, we'll go over it. But if you talk to me at 10:30 this morning, say, what we do on the show today, I have no idea. It's gone. It's gone.
Out.
And by the way, not because I'm almost 55. It was gone when I was 25.
No, totally
just,
agree.
You know, and it's not because it's not incredibly valuable information. It's just, you talk for 4 friggin' hours, eventually it's going to leave your head.
You know what it is? You look ahead. You look forward. How about that?
I'll go with that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go with that. Thanks for
always looking ahead.
So the point of that is there's people listening to the show who are nice enough to listen every day who will have moments they remember from the show in the past year that when they bring them up on text at 312-981-7200, we'll go, oh, yeah.
Right.
That was good. So here are some of the thoughts. You know, obviously we're going to do best guest. But what about worst guest? And, you know, we have one strong nominee, and that's Ronda Rousey.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Mike Madigan. But then he'd have to be a guest on the show to be the guest. You know, he'd have to show up.
I believe he was nominated for least likely to appear, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he'll win that in a landslide.
Because Rom won that last year, and then Rom did the show this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or in 2015.
Yeah.
So best guest, worst guest is a typical example. Best moment for all the various players on the show.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. And best, again, could be in quotes. You know, it could be something that maybe wasn't so best. So best Blackhawks moment.
Oh, there's so many of those.
Well, but best, again, you know, it could be the historic interview I did with, who was the other Russian that I talked to who couldn't speak English?
Anisimov?
Oh, yeah, Anisimov.
Yes.
When I talked to Anisimov, and he couldn't speak English, and the entire interview sounded like a UN translation.
Although he did teach us My Pillow, Mia Padushka.
Is that what it was?
In Russian.
Was Panarin, wasn't it?
No, that... Panarin taught us how to say the F word.
He did, yeah.
Yeah.
Musical performance?
Best musical performance? And that would be a John DeCoste category.
Of course.
Yeah. So you see where we're going here. Anything outstanding moments on the show or just moments on the show? By the way, feel free to invent a category.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
So if you listeners have a category where you go, you should give out a Stevie for this, bring it. Texters, 312-981-7200 is the number. All of our Stevie Award winners will get the coveted Stevie Award certificate, which is, and we're going to get Katie O'Connor and the graphic artist to go ahead and do a new depiction of my head, right? Are we using the same one?
I liked last year's. Oof. It was nice.
It was kind of cool. It took up pretty much the whole certificate.
Well, what it is, it's
it was kind of neat.
It's a drawing of my head, mm-hmm. and in the forehead space is where the award is listed.
Which makes sense because this is where all of these categories come from, your mind.
Yeah, look what you did there.
Jeez,
wow,
what
two
is
of them
this
already
today?
This morning. All right, so I'd like a touch-up on that to maybe make me look a little bit more like George Clooney. But in the meantime, we can still use my forehead as where the award will be depicted for these categories. And by the way, I thought about this driving in this morning. We should do a best listener.
Oh, absolutely. We have so many, though. How do you pick the best listener?
Well, this is where the egomaniacs in the audience will chime in and say, it's me. I'm the best listener, and here's why.
That's good.
So there you go. So that's all of the thoughts related to the Stevies. I think you understand. Once we do the actual Stevie Awards, and we're going to do the nominees. We're going to do this throughout the week. But once we do the actual awards, we'll have the big ceremony here at the beautiful Tribune Tower. We don't actually have a red carpet. We've got a red floor mat. It's a floor mat. It's a floor mat from an old Chevy Camaro.
Oh, I thought it was like a bath mat. You know, like you step into the shower into.
All right, it's
like
a bath mat.
Fuzzy bath mat.
It's a bath mat, but we used it as a floor mat in the car. So we'll have a red bath mat that the stars will come in on, and then they'll come into the studio and we'll talk. Or I'll just announce them as we go throughout the morning next Monday on the show. So nominations this week. Next Monday, the actual presentation of the Stevie Awards. It's the biggest event in all of show business.
I think that's probably true.
Yeah. So texters, 312-981-7200. And, Dave, you haven't really brought up anything yet, so you'll be responsible for
pretty much all of it, right?
Three or four new awards.
Okay.
Yeah. Why don't we put you in charge of sports and drinking?
How about just sports?
Or drinking.
You can't remember the drinking
or
stuff?
Or drinking.
I shouldn't have got hammered.
Drinking as a sport?
Sport drinking. Sport drinking would also be a category, yes.
But you can't win them all.
Yes. And Adam, even though we're excluding you from all show activities, you're certainly welcome to chime in. You know, by way, why don't you fax us?
I don't think I've faxed anything in years.
See, I was counting on a, what was the thing he said?
Fair enough.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I was counting on a fair enough. You're the fair enough guy, Adam. Remember that.
I do what I can.
Well, now he's the I do what I can guy. The rest of the show today, here's what's coming up. We have Dr. Most because it's Monday, and Dr. Most is going to talk about something very important today, and that's the supplement business. You know, how do you know what you're taking? Should you be taking it? Everything's a supplement now. I mean, come on.
That's a great question. It's great because, you know, your doctor always says, well, my doctor says to me, well, as a woman, you should be taking, you know, what, vitamin B and vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
How much? You know, why? Should I be taking other vitamins too?
And I think we can ask Dr. Most about this, but I think the makers don't have any standards as to you have to make them this way.
Yeah.
So maybe one vitamin B has more vitamin B than the other vitamin B.
Or does a multivitamin cover it all?
Yeah.
All questions, yeah.
We will, of course, talk about the Oscars with Dean later. Adam Hoge will be on as the Combine wraps up. Is it the wrap-up yesterday? Is that right?
I believe yesterday was the last day. It was D-linemen.
And the D-linemen 40 times are always very amusing. Some of them are still running. And then after 9, Amy Cochran came up with a follow-up to her Paul Coit idea. Remember she suggested that we say we're sorry to Paul Coit and see if we can get back to the U.K. instead of living under President Trump?
Mm-hmm.
The follow-up is even better, I think. We're going to see if Paul Coit would be willing to give us the British citizenship test.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Because really, we should earn our way in. It's more than an apology. If we're really going to move back to England and be subjects of the Queen, we should have to pass their citizenship test.
Hopefully we'll still get access to the royals.
Yeah, but I'll tell you right now, I'm going to build a wall. It's going to be a big wall. It's going to be a beautiful wall. And I'm going to make France pay for it. So, Hawks Express later after the great win. And then there is a reopening of a Chicago institution on the south side that you're very excited about.
I'm so excited about this. And I think you guys will be too after today.
Okay. And well, you can say the name.
Can I say it?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's Rainbow Cone. Rainbow ice cream cone. And I know some of you guys have never had a rainbow cone.
I've never had a rainbow cone.
You are in for a treat.
And it opens today?
It's going to reopen, I think, this weekend, right, Kev?
March 5th, yeah.
March 5th.
And finally, at 7:20 this morning, is Orion joining us from the desert out in Scottsdale?
He will, yes.
Okay, Orion Samuelson will join us from the desert, and our vice president of Hooch, Dave Ennett, will lead us in a toast to Bob Collins.
I have refilled the bottle.
Actually, Orion will be.
Why did I even say that?
Orion will be here live?
He will, yeah.
Oh,
he landed last night from Arizona.
All right, good. Bob Collins' birthday was yesterday, so we will do the toast today.
Right.
All right,
the authentic bottle.
That covers the show, 6:29. We're back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
.642, Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine, impact every day, Central DuPage Hospital, Northwestern, and about 47,000 hospitals now that you have responsibility for. It's very busy life for you, Dr. Most.
Just a couple under 47,000, but yeah, that's true. We're busy. It's good to be busy.
It is good to be busy. I'm glad you chose this topic to bring up to the listeners today, because everybody's taking some kind of supplement, aren't they?
They really are. I mean, when we talk about supplements, we go all the way from power drinks to power bars to vitamins to everything. So yeah, a lot of people are taking supplements and kind of some strong messages out there to make sure that that they take them safely.
Now, the FDA doesn't oversee any of these, or they only oversee a few?
No, they really don't oversee any of them. And so when you look at actually look for the statement that's on the box of almost all of these, it says, these statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. The products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You know, the FDA says you must put that statement on because they haven't gone through the vigorous research that medications go through, where there's been blinded studies, clinical trials to make sure that the dosing is proper. So a lot of these, if you look at them, boy, you could take vitamin D at 1,000 international units, or do you take it at 400 international units? There's two bottles sitting right next to each other that say the same thing as far as the daily dose.
So how do you know what to do?
You really don't. So it's really important that you talk to your doctor about taking any of them. I'm not going to say that they're worthless for the most part, but many of them you don't need. If you have a good balanced diet, the chance that you need a multivitamin every day is pretty slim.
Let's
take a multivitamin every day.
Well, there you go. Let's go to that, because Andre had a good question 10 minutes ago. We were talking about this related to vitamins.
Doc, I take a multivitamin every day, but then my doctor says, well, you should be taking vitamin B or D in addition. So I'll usually
To your multivitamin?
In addition to my multivitamin. Is that too much, or is the multivitamin enough?
So you really need to look and see what's in the multivitamin you take. We say the words multivitamin, we go, oh, that must mean that everyone is the same, when in fact, every single one is different. So looking to see what vitamins are in there is very important. One thing your doctor did say about vitamin D, and that's one that I'm very big on, that's a vitamin I think we all should take. The vast majority of the other vitamins we get through our regular diet, where vitamin D is rarely found out there in our diet, unless you eat fatty fish like salmon or mackerel or something like that, and you're a big milk drinker, because many of us slow down our drinking of milk as we age,
right?
And if we're not eating fatty fish, then we really don't get a lot or enough vitamin D.
And vitamin D is calcium, and what else?
Well, vitamin D helps us absorb calcium. That's what it does. That's why we need it, because it's going to keep our bones strong, our teeth strong. So vitamin D is really important, especially as we age, because the chance from osteoporosis goes up dramatically as the body reabsorbs calcium out of the bones and our bones get weaker. So taking that vitamin D is really very, very key. And, you know, in the 1930s, we had a lot of kids with poor bone development because of the lack of vitamin D. So the federal government said, we're going to fortify all the milk with vitamin D. So now when you get milk, it's like it's got vitamin D added to it. But don't think that because you're taking cottage cheese or you're taking ice cream or you're taking whatever else comes from dairy products, those do not have the fortification with the vitamin D. So that's one that I say taking a vitamin D supplement, about 600 international units for an adult, is very key.
Now, yeah. Now, if you are looking at the back of your vitamin, your multivitamin bottle, is yep. there any that have that high number of vitamin D?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, they do?
Absolutely. Many of them are going to have that. You know, you say 600 units. Boy, it must be huge. No. This still does not add a lot of volume to the pill at all by any means. So you can easily get that in a multivitamin.
All right, let me run through quickly a few of these other vitamins, and we'll take the break for traffic. CoQ10 is for what?
CoQ10 is an antioxidant. So we know that oxidation and free radicals damage cells and can cause skin breakdown, can cause cell breakdown, and can, unfortunately, they think that it's a major cause of cancer, that it can change that. So CoQ10 is an antioxidant which helps reverse some of that. There really hasn't been many studies or any studies that have shown that the claim that it's going to reverse cancer or slow cancer has been made, but they take the chemical, they say this is what it can do in your body, therefore if what happens in your body is bad, this can correct it. So it's a great leap, but a lot of people feel that it's, and it's got a lot of hype, but a lot of people feel that it's going to help them, protect them from cancer.
Kind of the same as glucosamine and chondroitin then, right? As far as what we hope it does, but we don't know if it does?
Exactly. Glucosamine and chondroitin are two chemicals that are found in cartilage. So we say, gosh, as we age and our bones and our joints get less and less strong and that cartilage gets worn down, if we take a chemical that's in the cartilage, maybe we can rejuvenate the cartilage. Glucosamine and chondroitin studies kind of varied. Some studies have shown that they're very helpful with people who have moderate to severe pain. Others have shown that Tylenol is going to do just as good as glucosamine and chondroitin.
What about B complex?
That's the interesting thing, you know, that Andrea said that. So B complex, when we think about it, say, well, what's a B complex? A B complex is made up of 8 different B vitamins. Many of them you have, and many of them are included in your multivitamin. So check that. If you're taking a multivitamin, it may have all the B-complex vitamins in it, and you may not need that. One that's in there that's very important, especially for women of childbearing age, is one called folic acid, and that's one that all women should be on. It's a very important vitamin for women. And then the other ones are thiacin and riboflavin and niacin. Those are all the B-complex ones. We know that they help us convert food into energy, and therefore we think, boy, if taking a B complex is going to give me, you know, a lot more energy during the day. Not a lot of studies that show that occurs.
Give me 30 seconds on magnesium and lutein.
Okay, so lutein, I think, is one.
It's for your eyes or your hair?
It's for your eyes, exactly. Thought to be an eye vitamin.
Oh, I thought it was hair.
It's another one that I recommend. I take it every day, actually. This is one that has been shown. Ophthalmologists have done the studies to show that this will protect you from macular degeneration and the development of cataracts. So this is a chemical that we really can't get too much in our diet, except it's high in kale. So Dave Ennett does not probably need this, but not a lot of people eating kale out there. So that's one that I think is important.
But if Dave's drinking a lot and his vision is blurred, the lutein would help.
Yes.
What about magnesium?
Magnesium, it's an anti-inflammatory. You know, some people think that it's really going to help people with high blood pressure. However, you know, we get enough of it in our diet that you really don't need it as a supplement. And again, the studies there have been shown to be a little iffy at best.
Coming back, want to talk about energy drinks and power bars and probiotics and ginkgo biloba and Lair and Mo and Curly and Peter and Cindy and Bobby and everybody.
Can we ask about fish oil, too?
No, absolutely not. Okay. It's time now for your traffic update. Here he is one more time, Adam.
He's from Central DuPage Hospital. Call Dr. Most right now.
Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, Impact Every Day. And we thank Northwestern Medicine for allowing you to ruin your reputation weekly on this show. We're talking about vitamins and we're talking about supplements, and everybody wants to know if their probiotic is a good idea.
Well, should we do Dave's fish oil first, or you want to do probiotics?
No, I think probiotics.
Okay. So we always think about bacteria as being bad, right? It causes strep throat, it causes pneumonia, it causes skin infection. But in fact, there is some bacteria that's actually very good. And we need this bacteria actually in our intestines, in our gut, to help us digest food. And that's what probiotics are. So when you're taking a probiotic, you're actually taking a bacteria. And these things, bacteria produce enzymes that help us digest food. And for people who have irritable bowel or people who have bowel problems, probiotics are probably a very good idea. It's nothing that you need if you feel fine and you don't have any problems there. It's not that you need to take that as a supplement. But people with irritable bowel disease, it's probably something that they should at least try, and it's very safe to try.
From the 847, what about omega-3 supplements? Is that Dave's question?
That's Dave's question, right. So, you know what? That's probably one of the best marketing I don't want to say ploys that it's ever happened. So this goes back to the 1970s. And in the 70s, we found that people that lived in Greenland, actually, is where the study came, had a very low incidence of heart disease. So they assumed it was because of the intake of fish that they took and the fish oils that they took. Since then, we've really found by doing great studies, I mean, some huge studies. There's one done in the 90s with like 12,000 people, if I'm not mistaken, that have shown that it really doesn't have an impact here. So what happened is we've really have found other ways to treat heart disease better. That being said, there are many claims for fish oils and what else they can do besides heart disease. And again, it almost comes down to some marketing, because as they started to say, you know what, it may not have that benefit in heart disease. So now you have the people saying, well, it has mental health benefits. It has memory benefits. You know, it can help people with MS. And really, it starts to get to a point of where it's all marketing, to be honest with you. The studies really haven't shown that it's going to do any harm, but it doesn't show that there's any benefit, really.
And a couple more. Does D interfere with statins for cholesterol?
There's a lot of interactions with medications and supplements. So did you say B vitamins?
D, vitamin D.
Vitamin D. I don't believe it does. That's a good question, but I do not believe it does. Our biggest concerns with the vitamins and the supplements is not so much with the statin drugs, but it's with the blood thinners and the diabetes drugs. Those are the biggest ones where we're going to have interactions. So we definitely want to be careful there. But that's a good question that I should know the answer to.
Well, you'll find out. You'll let us know.
Yeah. Yep.
From the 847, how do I know if my vitamin has good bioavailability? Is that like when a vitamin likes a boy vitamin and a girl vitamin?
Well, it does. And
I don't know what bioavailability is.
Yeah, it's how much availability is that drug going to be after it's absorbed. In other words, you can take a whole bunch of a vitamin, but if it's really not available in the body for use, all you're going to do is pass that through your system.
Okay.
For example, the B vitamins. The B vitamins are cleared by the kidneys. So one of the things that you can take 1,000% of whatever the recommended dose for a B vitamin is, and it really isn't going to do anything because you're going to pass whatever excess is out of the body without it being used. And there's other conditions where you got to make sure that the vitamin is composed properly so that it will be absorbed.
Will calcium be one of those, Doc? Because I try and do an extra calcium maybe twice a week or so, but then you have to be careful of what the kidney stones with that?
Exactly. Yeah, kidney stones and some heart problems with calcium. But again, if you're not taking enough milk and you're not taking things with calcium in them, you know, the ice cream and cheeses and things like that, a calcium supplement for females is a great idea. And, you know, they make them in these chewables that are very easy to take. Very easy on your stomach. So that coupled with a vitamin D will keep your bones strong. I wouldn't be taking handfuls of the calciums, though.
Don't eat them like candy?
No.
Okay. Exactly. No. And they are. They're like little gummy bears.
You're a gummy bear. Yeah. All right, let's go through these quickly, the lightning round. Ginkgo biloba, yes or no?
You know, I'd say yes, probably. You know, it's but be careful because this is another one that can interact with blood thinners. But It has been shown to increase blood flow to the brain, so we're using it for a lot in Alzheimer's patients. So, and it's been used in Chinese medicine for years and years, or hundreds of years. So I'd say that that would be one that I would say, yeah, that's probably a good one.
Power drinks and energy drinks.
I would be very careful of this, and this is actually a message to the parents out there as well whose kids are taking these. You know, these are those Monster drinks and Red Star, or Rockstar and Red Bull. Those, be very careful with them. You know, the amount of caffeine in those things can be very dangerous. You're talking about, to put it in perspective, a can of Coke has 35 milligrams of caffeine. A full can of that Rockstar has 240. That is way too much caffeine to put on the body. So you're going to see people, kids have palpitations. And the other probably big problem with this is people call it, you know, sleep in a can, where I can take this instead of sleeping. And that's when we start to see bad habits happen, injuries happen, and we do some pretty stupid things because sleep is much more important than fake sleep.
Fiber supplements? It's an as-needed thing, right?
Yeah, and fiber supplements is great as well. I mean, I'm a big fan of fiber. You know, it comes in soluble and insoluble, so you can take the Metamucil. That fiber does a couple things. One, it is a natural laxative, so that helps. But two, it kind of decreases the amount of sugar that's absorbed, so it slows it down, so we don't have these big high peaks and valleys with our blood sugar. So it's also one that's going to protect you a little bit from colon cancer.
It's nature's broom.
Yes.
And saw palmetto for prostate.
Hasn't really shown to be any work at all. A lot of people will take it. It might help a little bit with an enlarged prostate, but it's certainly not going to help you with prostate cancer. But again, this is one that can interact with other medications, so please check and make sure that you're on one of those drugs before you start taking it.
And we had a bunch of listener questions. Sadly, we're not going to have time to get to all of them, but somebody said, age 51, just had a blood clot in my leg. Flew 16 hours last week. How serious is it? Well, it's very serious.
It can be very serious. So blood clots in the legs, we have deep blood clots in the legs and superficial. If this is a superficial one, that's treated totally different than the deep ones. But the deep ones, especially after a long flight, is very, very important to get that checked because you may need to be on blood thinners because you don't want that blood clot to move to your lung.
And it did in my case. It's called a pulmonary embolism. And it can kill you.
And the message there, you heard what she said. She was on a 16-hour flight. Anytime you're in an airplane for more than 3 hours, get up and move around and do exercises in the chair because that's the biggest chance for you to get a blood clot is from sitting in a prolonged time. And we'd never do it at home. We'd always get up and move around.
And if you don't like this show, it's Doc's fault because he saved my life.
You can blame me.
Yes. Thank you, buddy. Great information.
You got it. Talk to you soon.
Have a great day.
Okay.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine Impact Every Day. News next.
From the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
This is 720 WGN. I want to thank Larry Wirt and Jimmy DeCastro and Todd Manley and everybody that runs this joint because you do a lot of charitable stuff. I do a lot of charitable stuff. Dave, you do as well. Big O is going to join us in a few minutes. Same thing. Nobody ever comes up to you around here and goes, hey, enough with the helping of people. Enough with the charity. Or you can only talk about this charity. There are outlets that will have assigned charities that you can only discuss. So it's tough to do all of them. You want to help everybody. Sometimes you can't do that. But on Saturday night, I had another one of those reminders of what really matters and how blessed we all are. And as you get up on a Monday morning and you go to work, just at some point today, maybe check out calsangels.org. Cal Sutter died when he was a teenager from a tumor, from cancer, and his dad and stepmom started this organization in his honor. And I told the story Saturday night in the same way. They're like first responders to me. You know, when the fire breaks out, the firemen run in. If your child dies of cancer and you turn around and you go back into the hospital where the worst thing that could ever happen to you happened to help other families, that's pretty incredible. And on Saturday night, I once again was reminded, and again, Pat Tomasulo was the co-MC and did a great job. I was reminded that, I don't have any problems. I don't have any issues. My kids are healthy. My first grandkid is healthy. What have I got to whine about? Because you had family after family who are dealing with kids with cancer. And, you know, when you get to heaven, whatever your belief in heaven is someday, when you get to heaven, I think you ask God, hey, what was the deal with the Cubs never winning, you know, a World Series at some point? And more importantly, how come kids get sick? Because, you know, those are the things. Try to explain that. But there was a great moment Saturday night in the midst of all of this. And it was a very upbeat thing, and it always is whenever they do this gala. And they do events all year long. But they do a thing called the 12 Days of Christmas. And in the 12 Days of Christmas event, they have volunteers deliver wrapped Christmas presents, obviously done by Santa, wrapped Christmas presents to the homes of families who have a child with cancer. And in most cases, these are kids that are in really rough shape. And if they're not at the we need a miracle stage, they're getting close. So Ross Cochran and I actually did one of these visits 3 or 4 years ago when I was first getting involved with the organization. And that little boy was 2 years old at the time. His family was there Saturday night to talk about how great he's doing and how strong he is. And, you know, we don't throw the word remission around lightly because it means a lot of different things to a lot of people. But he's surviving and thriving and doing what every little kid should do. As a matter of fact, the mother told a great story. She said, I asked him what he wanted me to tell all the people that have helped us out. And he said, tell him I can beat my sister in running, which is a perfect little kid thing to say, because exactly. That ought to be his primary concern.
Oh, that's awesome.
So just great moving moments like that all the time through the folks at Cal's Angels. And if you can help in any way, I certainly hope you will. But it was just one of those things. You know, God puts stuff in front of you all the time, right? And just when you start to, you know, and I don't need to give you any details, but Saturday I was kind of bummed out about something. And I go to this event, and I'm going, what the hell am I whining about?
I know.
Even if it's just in your head. So as you get up on a Monday morning and you go to work, whatever struggles you're dealing with, maybe they're as bad as what I'm talking about, maybe they're not. But if the biggest problems in your life are a couple of family members or traffic or your boss isn't nice to you, walk it off, man. You don't have any problems. Figure it out. Because we're all in the vast majority of us are so blessed, it's ridiculous.
So, that is very true.
And that's how you pay it forward, by helping out organizations like that in any way that you can. And by the way, it doesn't always have to be money. They need lots of volunteers. One of the other things we talked about is, you know, when you take presents, again, from Santa, when you take presents into somebody's house, strangers, into somebody's house, and you have the advanced knowledge that they're going through dealing with a child with cancer, that's pretty heavy. And the basic human instinct, I think, for most people is, oh, man, do I really want to do this? Do I really want to walk in and see this kind of sadness? It's so uplifting. And Ross could speak to this as well, obviously, but it's so uplifting, and it's so great for the spirit and for the mind. You'll feel good doing it. You'll do something that makes the world a better place, and I certainly hope that you will. It's 7:18, a news sweep you need to hear in just a moment. Before we do that, let's get to Adam Chappelle in for Mary. Adam is the fair enough guy. Anything I said to Adam all morning, he says fair enough. And, you know, he's very efficient with his words, and he's here to do the traffic. Is that right, Adam?
Fair enough.
And now this.
We won the evangelicals. We won with young. We won with old. We won with highly educated. We won with poorly educated. I love the poorly educated.
He's not going to take any crap from anybody.
He has no filters.
I think he's the only candidate on the Republican side who's actually going to build a wall.
Look at the people that are coming across the border illegally. Are the vast majority reputable people that want to give to the community?
Do you want a president in there that really walks on eggshells and not wanting to hurt this community or that community?
Bum the he's not going to take any crap from anybody.
I love the poorly educated.
I think he's going to help with the ISIS. He can't tell us right now.
All if
right.
He tells everybody, then the next thing you know, somebody else is going to copy what he says.
Why I like Trump is he's not a politician.
He says a lot of things that we probably are thinking or want to say.
I love the poorly educated.
The opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of anyone at any time, anywhere. The Steve Cochran Show continues next on 720 WGN. 55 today, 30s the rest of the week till we get to the weekend, and we pop into the 40s, mid-60s next week. It's almost over. Almost over, kids. 7:24, it is a pleasure to see the legend Orion Samuelson in studio. How are you, sir?
Pleasure to be seen, and thank you very much. Doing fine, thank you. Again, leaving 84-degree temperatures, but it was pretty good Sunday coming back.
Appreciate you taking one for the team. Yesterday would have been Bob Collins' birthday. Today, we celebrate that birthday, as we do every year, with a toast. Now, explain how this tradition started.
Tradition started when he left us way too early in that mid-air plane crash. And the only thing that we found in his office after they had come through and cleaned it out was a partially used bottle of Jack Daniels. And so the tradition started the following year that we would drink a toast to Uncle Bobby and we would use what he left for us, Jack Daniels.
And well, the bottle has been refilled how many times?
I don't know. Dave filled it this last week again, did it much neater than he and I did several years ago when we curled a newspaper. And used
no, it was a party hat.
A party,
oh, that's
a purple,
right, a party
purple.
Hat. Yeah. And so it has been, but there's always been a little bit left, so we know some of the original is still in it.
And this, Jack, is the real thing.
It's old number 7 Tennessee whiskey.
Now, tell me one thing before, and we're going to play a montage of Bob here in just a second as well. And I know you've told this story many times, but I know you don't mind me asking you to tell it again. When Bob Collins first came to WGN, you thought he was a disaster.
I did, because I had worked with Eddie Hubbard in the morning and then went from Eddie to Wally Phillips, who had the fastest mind of anybody I had ever known in the broadcasting industry and was suave and debonair and all that sort of thing. And then in comes this southern cackle laugh and something totally different. Matter of fact, I hardly had conversation with him for the first 6 months he was here. But then that all changed. And when he left us, he was probably my closest friend here. And
you had a plan. You had a plan for retirement that was kind of, you know, his plan.
Yep. Because he was, I already had a home in the Valley of the Sun, and he was building one, and we were going to retire together someday, and we would sit on, quote, the front stoop and watch the desert go by. So, I don't know why, you know, we were in Arizona the past 10 days, and both Gloria and I found ourselves bringing up Bob stories and thinking about him. And, of course, one of the reasons I would never be a radio program director was because I thought he was the worst thing that had ever happened
But that's one of my favorite parts about this story, because you're one of the brightest guys I've ever known, and the fact that you're more than willing to admit you were wrong about him is great. By the way, I barely knew the man.
Yep.
And I was completely wrong about him, because I sat in different stations around town trying to figure out why that old coot was kicking my ass.
Yeah.
And the fact is, he showed up every day, did a great show every day, was consistent every day, gave this audience exactly what they wanted every day, and, you know, could go from funny to politics to Chicago to the Bears to whatever.
Yep.
And delivered the goods.
He could go from abortion to talking about a crazy squirrel in somebody's backyard.
And then playing dead skunk in the middle of the road.
And dead skunk in the middle of the two quick stories. While he was so sparkly and bubbly on the air in crowds, he was very uncomfortable. As a matter of fact,
hated live appearances.
Yeah, if you'd go to a party with friends and there were a lot of people there you didn't know. He'd be a wallflower. He and Christine would kind of stand off in the corner. And so after we started talking to each other, I said, you ought to come out on one of our farm remotes. Walworth, Wisconsin was having a corn brat festival, and we were doing the noon show. And
you've never been a crowd you didn't like.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And so I said, Bob, you got to come along. And he did. And during the course of the broadcast, between one of the band numbers, I said, want you to meet our new morning guy.
Oh, boy.
Here's Uncle Bobby. And I don't think he was being called Uncle at that point. But he came up on stage, waved, and turned around and went right off. And after the broadcast, he came up to me and he said, Samuelson, you ever do that to me again, I'll kill you. Because he just hated it. He eventually had to like it because he had to do it so many times. And then the other time, you know, he loved speed, motorcycles, airplanes, which ultimately died, and automobiles. Loved speed.
Right.
Well, Gloria and I had gone to China 2 or 3 times, And so he said, I want to go to China, but I only want to go with you. And so we set it up so that in 1998, Gori and I and he and his partner went to China. And we were going from Beijing out to the Great Wall. And so we get a Chinese driver in a van. And I put Bob in the front seat so that he could see the scenery on the way out. Well, there weren't a lot of car drivers in China at the time. It was all bicycles. And sure. Boy, if you got to drive a car, you went 90 miles an hour. And we're sitting in that van on country roads in China that weren't the best at that time on the way to the Great Wall. And he's doing 80, 90 miles an hour.
Did Collins like speed that day?
He slammed the dashboard and, in language I can't use on the air, said, if you don't slow this thing down, you're dead. Only time I've ever heard Uncle Bobby say, slow down, really. But
right.
he would have been 74 today.
Is that right? And the driver, I assume, got the language?
He could speak a little bit of English, and so he did get that. But, boy, Uncle Bobby, whose real name was Howard.
Happy 74th birthday.
Happy 74th. You left us with a lot of laughs. And you left us way too early. So
later on, I want to ask Dave. Uncle Bob. I want to ask Dave about Collins as well, because I know Dave, Mr. Calm, Cool, and Collected, was intimidated by even working with him.
Oh yeah,
at times.
Here's Uncle Bobby.
There we go.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Ooh, that'll put hair on you.
Oh man.
Mm. Matter of fact, I feel my hair growing back. forget about your probiotics.
Ooh, me too.
Wow.
Hello.
Bob just said hello.
And now he's laughing.
And now, because you'd love to hear it one more time, we listen to a little Bobby.
Some things I have learned as I age. Age 6. I've learned that I like my teacher because she cries when we sing Silent Night. Age 7. I've learned that you can't hide a piece of broccoli in a glass of milk. Age 9. I've learned that when I wave to people in the country, they stop what they're doing and wave back. Age 13, I've learned that just when I get my room the way I want it, Mom makes me clean it up. Age 14, I've learned that if you want to cheer yourself up, you should try cheering somebody else up. Age 15, I've learned that although it's hard to admit, I secretly am glad my parents are strict with me. Age 24, I've learned that silent company is often more healing than words or advice. Age 26, I've learned that brushing my child's hair is one of life's great pleasures.
When you only got 100 years to live.
Age 29, I've learned that wherever I go, the world's worst drivers follow me there. Age 39, I've learned that if somebody says something unkind about me, I must live so that no one will believe it. Age 41, I've learned that there are people who love you dearly but just don't know how to say it. Age 44, I've learned that you can make somebody's day simply by sending them a little card. Age 46, I've learned that the greater a person's sense of guilt, the greater his need to cast blame on others. Age 47, I've learned that children and grandparents are natural allies. Age 49, I've learned that singing Amazing Grace can lift my spirit for hours. Age 50, I've learned that the motel mattresses are better on the side away from the phone. Age 51, I've learned that you can tell a lot about a man by the way he handles these three things: a rainy day, lost luggage, and tangled Christmas tree lights. Age 52, I've learned that keeping a vegetable garden is worth a whole medicine cabinet full of pills. Age 53, I've learned that regardless of your relationship with your parents, you miss them terribly after they die.
You only got 100 years to live. Half the time goes by, suddenly you're wise and know the blink of an eye. 67 is gone, the sun is getting high. One move.
Age 58, I've learned that making a living is not the same thing as making a life. Age 61, I've learned that if you want to do something positive for your children, try improving your marriage. Age 62, I've learned that life sometimes gives you a second chance. Age 64. I've learned that if you pursue happiness, it will elude you. But if you focus on your family, the needs of others, your work, and meeting new people, and doing the very best you can, happiness will in fact find you. Age 66. I've learned that whenever I decide something with kindness, I almost always make the right decision. Age 72. I've learned that everybody can use a prayer. Age 73, I've learned to believe in miracles. To tell you the truth, I've seen a few. Age 82, I've learned that even if I have pains, I don't have to be one. Age 85, I've learned that every day you should reach out and touch someone. People love the human touch. Holding hands, a warm hug, or a friendly pat on the back, it's all wonderful.
Only got 100 years to live.
At age 92, I've learned that I still have a lot to learn.
Happy birthday, Bob Collins. We are continuing to take your text suggestions for the real awards that matter, the Stevie Awards. Second annual Stevie Awards. We're looking for your suggestions for categories and for nominees. It could be anything related to this show, to Chicago, to the world at large. Just it has to be something you've heard me yap about or heard on this show. Again, texters, get those suggestions in, 312-981-7200, and tell us who your Stevie Award suggestion would be. Next Monday at this time, we'll actually present the Stevie Awards in a star-studded attraction, using a red bath mat instead of the cumbersome red carpet that all of our award winners will step on prior to getting their certificate, where their award will be printed on my forehead.
Mm-hmm. And framed. To frame certificate.
Frameable.
Frame. Oh, we don't frame it?
Nah, that's a lot of money. I don't have that kind of money. Your winners last night before we get to our Oscars pool. Andrea's going to love this. Best Picture Spotlight.
Yes.
Bit of an upset. A lot of people thought it would be The Revenant, but I got to tell you, that bear downwind smelled terrible.
Did you see the bear made the appearance at the Oscars?
Yeah, it was a nice appearance.
Yeah, nice appearance by the bear.
Kind of just sat there. Best Director, Alejandro González Iñárritu from The Revenant. Best Actor, DiCaprio from The Revenant. Did he really do his entire acceptance? I'd say I was in bed by then. Did his entire acceptance speech on global warming?
He did the last portion of it on global warming. Yeah, he thanked his parents and did the obligatory thank yous.
What does that have to do with The Revenant?
Well, he said they couldn't find any place with snow. Right. They had to go to the tip of the earth to find a little bit of snow.
I was going to say, he could shoot here tomorrow. I mean, I think we'll have enough snow tomorrow night. Could shoot here.
There's no question that things are changing environmentally. The great question is, what can we do about it?
Right.
More on that later. Best Actress, Brie Larson for Room. Mm-hmm. Any objections there?
No, she was great.
Okay. Best Supporting Actor. This is the biggest surprise of the night, I would say, even bigger than the Best Picture category. Mark Rylance from Bridge of Spies. I loved him. I'm glad he won.
He was
awesome.
But
I really wanted that moment where Stallone won. Hey, Adrian, we lost. You know, it'd be nice to have Stallone up there pumping his fist, throwing his arms over his head.
That would have been cool.
And at his age, it probably would have taken the same amount of time to climb the steps as it did in Philly back in the day.
I thought he was going to win. I really did.
Yeah, so did I. Best Supporting Actress was Alicia Vikander from The Danish Girl. That kid's only 27. Has she got a career ahead of her or what?
She's fantastic. And beautiful dress, too, by the way.
Yeah, beautiful girl. Best Original Screenplay, Tom McCarthy and Josh Singer for Spotlight, and Adam McKay and Charles Randolph for The Big Short. For Best Adapted Screenplay. Those are your major awards.
Yeah.
Best Dress of the night?
I would say Charlize Theron. I think Orion concurred with me on that. Yeah.
Yeah, Orion, you said...
She almost fell out of it.
Yeah.
That was the thing that
but you were for that. You were for her falling out of the dress.
Yeah, Orion's fine with that. Beautiful red low-cut dress. I also liked Olivia Munn in a bright orange color dress.
Yeah.
Brie Larson, beautiful. Jennifer Garner, stunning.
How about Olivia Wilde? Did that do anything for you?
You know... That'll do something for Orion, Kevin, yeah. And I hate to say it, Julianne Moore looked very nice.
You are not a fan of Julianne Moore.
She's just not my favorite. Neither is Kate Winslet, but they both had... dresses were very pretty this year. Not a fan of the Cate Blanchett feather flower thing. Did you like that?
You know, I just think all women are beautiful, so I don't like to judge.
There's Charlize Theron. Gorgeous. Best dress of the night.
Yeah. And good for her.
I'm sure you guys were all okay with Charlize Theron.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, there's certain architectural issues. I mean, some, like if you were a well-endowed woman, you couldn't wear that dress.
No.
There'd be things popping. There's not enough duct tape.
It's true, but you also have to look, and I know you're looking at this too, the cut, you know, the shoulder cut, the train on the dress, all beautiful.
What?
Okay, maybe you guys aren't even looking at any of that.
What should I be looking at? was there a worst dressed?
Didn't like the Cate Blanchett flowered look.
What about Kerry Washington with her black and white look?
I like that. I didn't like the leather top.
Oh, was it leather?
Yeah, that was, or pleather. I'm sure it was leather. She's such a pretty girl, though.
And
Kerry
Washington. Chrissy Teigen, did they have the baby?
No, but that's a very, you know, they didn't. But that's a very unique kind of vintage-looking dress.
For a pregnant lady?
Yes, very pretty dress.
Kind of a mermaid thing?
Gaga looked nice, too, I got to say. She was in like a white, strange
pantsuit. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because Gaga got robbed.
Oh, yeah.
She got completely robbed. Lady Gaga's musical number last night from Spotlight should have won hands down. And the performance in the show was tremendous. They actually had a shadowed chorus walk out on stage. And each of the members of the chorus that sang at the end with Gaga were sexual abuse victims.
Right.
And on their arms were things written like, not your fault.
Right. Survivor.
And Survivor and things like that. Because, look, I like Sam Smith, but the Bond song was stupid to begin with.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
So
he's a great singer. But, yeah, so that's the Oscar fashion. I would say Charlize Theron, Olivia Munn, Jennifer Garner, top three.
Those are your ones?
Beautiful dresses.
And if you'd like to know who won our Oscars pool, stand by, because right after Adam Chappelle updates the traffic, we'll tell you the big winner. Adam, cool by you?
That works for me. Fair enough.
Okay, dude, fair enough is the line. You're the fair enough guy. I mean, do we have to write it down for you? Here's Adam.
We have a crash at Kinsey and Pulaski, that on the city's near west side. As for your travel times, all in all, they're pretty bad this morning. Eden's about 25 minutes either way between Lake Cook and the Junction. Kennedy's up to an hour 2 in from O'Hare. Ike an hour 10 in from Thorndale. Stevenson 56 in from 355. Dan Ryan running a half hour in from 95th Street. Traffic's brought to you by Subway. Build your morning any way you want with a delicious breakfast sandwich from Subway. Try the Black Forest ham, egg white, and cheese on flatbread. Or build your own with your choice of cheese, veggies, proteins like hearty steak and even jalapeno. The Subway sandwich. Shop fresh is what we do. Adam Chappelle, WGN Traffic Central.
Here are
be alive right about now.
Great
play by Paddock.
Thank you. Here are the winners and losers from our Friday pool.
Okay, here we go.
With no correct answers in the Oscars pool whatsoever, Kevin and Ross on the seventh. I'm sorry, the seventh floor.
Oh,
so this
what?
Is
that's Grzanich.
That's Grzanich.
Grzanich and Vic.
Yeah, Grzanich. Zip. Nothing. Zero.
Not good. Not good.
Who am I to talk? Also with no correct answers, me.
You?
Zip. Zero. Yeah. Nothing.
Oh.
Missed in every category. The millennials. Sorry, millennials. Millennials tied with Dave. Each of the millennials had one correct answer. Dave had Mark Rylance.
Nice job, Dave.
The millennials had Leonardo DiCaprio. And the winner by far, in a landslide, with five of the seven choices correct, five categories correct, including tiebreaker son of Saul, Andrea Darlis.
Yeah, you mean Embrace of the Serpent didn't win?
I was just as upset as you were. Yeah.
You know, I'd like to take this time to thank all of the little people.
Play the music.
To thank
play
everybody
music.
For...
Roll of them.
Steve, to thank you.
It seems like we're out of time.
Giving me your band, Oscar picks.
The band is playing Andre off. It's 7:50. We're back with more in a moment on 720 WGN.
Tell me how the hell could you know? How could you know? Till it happens to you, you don't know.
7:56, that's Gaga from last night. One correction, I misspoke. I thought that was from Spotlight. That's actually from something called The Hunting Ground about sexual assault on campuses. Obviously, there's some ties there, but thanks to the listener for that correction.
And a nice introduction from Joe Biden.
Yeah, Vice President Biden.
He's
fought for women, fought against the abuse of women for a very long time.
Yeah, on campus so and everything. Sense. But he came out with a funny line. He said, I'm the least qualified to be here on the stage.
Oh, I don't know. He's been in acting for a long time.
Well, yeah, that's true.
You know, if you're in Washington for a long time, you got to act like you're interested a lot of the time. You got to act like you believe what you're saying a lot of the time.
Act like you know what you're doing.
Yeah, well, I think he's pretty good at that. I think he does know what he's doing a lot of the time.
I think he does, too.
At 7:56, a couple other notes. Monica Lewinsky attended the Vanity Fair Oscar party afterwards. And I think she looks great. She's fighting very hard now to stop bullying online. Oprah Winfrey was confused for Whoopi Goldberg on an online beauty site. Doesn't matter which one it is. They probably don't deserve the publicity on a night that was supposed to be about the fact that the awards are being handed out, and we're supposed to understand that no matter what color your skin is, everybody should be eligible to play. And somehow people thought Oprah was Whoopi. There you go. And if you wondered what the woman's deal was who walked out and said Happy Black History Month, that's Stacey Dash from the movie Clueless. Stacey Dash is a pretty hardcore right-wing Republican who has been hired by Fox to do commentary. And when all this Oscar controversy started, she suggested we stop having Black History Month anyway. And then she walked out last night to say Happy Black History Month, again, an attempt at satire. An attempt to make fun of the Hollywood process, and walked off. And everybody in the audience thought she was, somebody that wandered in from the audience or something.
Right. People are going, who is that and what was that even about?
There were three or four really disjointed moments last night. That was one. The Jack Black joke fell flat, too. That didn't work. And then Chris Rock, who is really one of my favorite comedians, but really a dopey moment when after Sam Smith sang, he said, good job, father figure. I love that. It's my favorite, which was a George Michael reference.
Oh, I see. I didn't even get that then. And I
No, because he sort of looked like George Michael. They're both gay. I don't even know where you're going with
it. I don't either.
It's 7, but you know what I did like? I liked when he sold Girl Scout cookies in the crowd and made $65,000 for his daughters. I thought that was a good economic move.
That was very different, yeah.
It's 7:58. News coming up, and then Dean will break down his thoughts on the Oscars. This is 720 WGN of Steve Cochran Show.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey. You know I love you more than what I should.
Well, it was Hollywood's biggest night, and a lot of people don't know this, but Dean gets a commission off every award that's given out.
That's correct. That's correct. And every time that I mention the word Oscar today, I get 50 cents on both TV and radio. So
very nice.
I am really piling it on today.
Hey, you want to hear a crazy coincidence? Yesterday, was at the Hawks game, and then afterwards saw my beautiful grandchild, Abigail Grace.
Forgot her name.
I'm setting this up. Ooh. Who, by the way, will win a Stevie Award next week, the ultimate award show for best moment of the show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Pretty good moment.
Yeah. But the weird part is, right before that, stopped in to see my mom and my sister Jennifer, and they were watching my beautiful nieces, Nina and Claire, and their dog, Oscar, on Oscar Sunday.
What?
Oh, pinch yourself, huh?
Look at that.
What you've been listening to is a 45-second story that had no place on the show. all right, so what? First, I've given
it very, very interesting.
Yeah, you guys really thought I was going somewhere with it, and it was just an excuse to mention Oscar.
Doesn't matter.
And by the way, could you guys at Channel 9 show the combine video anymore? The guy having the thing fall out of his shorts?
I haven't seen that.
And take a look at your junk.
Good God, man!
I haven't seen that.
All right, so your overall grade on the Oscars?
I'm going to say B minus.
See, I'd go C.
I'd go C minus.
Yeah, I'd go C minus.
C minus. I saw Andrea trashing it on Facebook.
I love the spectacle of the Oscars. I mean, I love how they show the old movie clips, and I love how everyone
did that.
I know. I just felt it was just so. I don't like grandstanding on any level, Dean. And I realize, you know, yes, there was no diversity.
Imagine her working with me.
But remember,
she doesn't like grandstanding. She's working with me.
No, but you remember Tim Robbins and Susan Sarandon? They had their moment.
Yeah.
I just thought, all right, even with DiCaprio and global warming, okay, you know, say it and then just kind of move on. Focus on the accomplishments of the actors.
I think if we combined all the various causes that were brought up last night, we'd save some time. Like no more global warming for white people. You know, if we just put everything into one bowl.
See, it didn't bother me. And here's why. I hear this all the time. Almost every day somebody brings up, why do these Hollywood people have to bring up their political causes? The reason that they do is because they're Americans. And they're allowed to give their opinions on things. They have a stage of 70 million people. And they're going to use that opportunity.
After President Trump's in office, they won't.
They have a certain amount of time to give their speech, and then the music comes on. They choose to use some of that time, you know, for what they want to talk about.
All right, now let me ask you about that.
It doesn't bother me. That part didn't bother me. I just thought it just wasn't a very interesting show.
No, I would agree with that, but let me ask you about something related to that, because the scrawl at the bottom, the crawl of
Venus,
didn't work, right?
Not a fan at all. Not a fan. I mean, that was there strictly for the people whose names was on it. You know, I started looking at it. It's like, I have no idea who any of these people are. I feel like I'm watching QVC, and you know,
well, that's the thing. It was so weird. That's
I'm not going to buy that knife set.
That's
I have
a
no
great
idea.
Analogy. But here's the thing: you rehearsed this show to death. How is it that nobody saw that it didn't work after you tried it? Because it was a viable idea. All of us that heard it thought, well, maybe that works.
I guess that was their way of getting people to. There was a market, you know, fewer people taking notes out of their pocket.
I guess, but you look at it in rehearsal, you'd go, this is a terrible idea. It looks like QVC.
Yeah, I didn't care for that
part
of it. I thought, in terms of what Andrea's saying about it being lackluster, it was lackluster in. Quality.
Yeah, I agree.
I take notes. I take, you know, so we can pull clips for the TV morning show and all that stuff. And usually I have 2-3 pages of things that I want to talk about the next day. I have a half a page. I hardly have anything that I want to talk about, today.
Yeah.
You know, probably the number one
thing. Too bad, because we got one more segment.
Two people are talking. Steve, like, that's ever stopped us.
That's a good point. What am I thinking?
We never had something to say when we stopped talking. That's a good one. The number one thing that people are talking about is Chris Rock. And, you know, did he go too far? Was it too much? That's the number one thing that I'm seeing.
Well, but I bailed. I was so bored with the show for the first time in my adult life, I did not watch the complete Oscars. I bailed at like 10 o'clock. And I don't feel like I missed that much. I've caught up online like everybody can now. But who were the dead people and who was the last dead guy in the memorial? Did they go with the Spock?
Leonard Nimoy, yeah.
They go with Nimoy. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, all my questions
are
answered.
Your prediction turned out to be exactly correct.
Well, it's a genius thing. What can I tell you? It's a burden for me. You know that. We'll come back and we'll give you a little bit of the Chris Rock stuff, see what Dean thought of him. And also, we will continue to do our best this morning to try to eliminate the white people. It's our mission.
You can travel Chicago. You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 9720.
8:22, we go back to Dean now. All right, so Chris Rock, your thoughts?
I thought that he was, for the most part, funny. I thought that he was funny at the same time made some really solid points. It was a difficult thing that that he had to kind of balance a little bit. And he gave it to the Academy, and he also gave it to the people who started the boycott, including Jada Pinkett Smith. I think that's the first cut we have.
Jada boycotting the Oscars is like me boycotting Rihanna's panties. I wasn't invited.
It's a funny line.
Mad her man, Will, was not nominated for concussion. I get it. Tell the truth. I get it. You get mad. She said it's not fair that Will was this good and didn't get nominated. Yeah, you're right. It's also not fair that Will was paid $20 million for Wild Wild West, okay? We got a Black Rocky this year. They call it Creed, I call it Black Rocky. And that's a big, that's an unbelievable statement. I mean, because Rocky takes place in a world white athletes are as good as black athletes. So Rocky's a science fiction movie.
So, you know, it was pretty funny with, you know, some of that
stuff.
Yeah,
I thought the monologue was pretty strong for the most part, but then each progressive bit sort of slid. I talked about the dopey throwaway line he did after Sam Smith sang about George Michael. I mean, that was pointless. The Stacey Dash thing, which...
I still don't understand the Stacey Dash.
Stacey Dash is a Fox contributor.
Right.
And she said, let's cancel Black History Month on Fox.
Right.
So that allegedly was parody or satire to come out and mock the hypocrisy of Hollywood to come out and go, happy Black History Month.
I've never seen a joke fall so flat.
No, people thought she, people didn't even recognize her. They thought she was somebody that broke through security and just wandered on stage.
I'm not that familiar. I mean, I remember the Stacey Dash story. I'm not familiar with what she looked like. I had to go to the web to see, was that really Stacey Dash or somebody they brought on there? And then after I saw that it really was her, I thought that was one of the most unfunny, pointless things I've ever seen. Ever.
And then you go to the video bits, you know, the...
Which
the,
were better. I thought the
yeah,
video
the
bits
Jack Black thing, eh,
well, that one I could have gone without. But there was the one where they inserted... what if they inserted black actors into the nominated movies?
Yeah, that was funny.
And they had Whoopi Goldberg mopping the floor while Jennifer Lawrence...
And Tracy Morgan.
...was trying to sell month. They had Chris Rock as an astronaut from The Martian, and when they learn that he's black, they decide to not bring him back.
Because it costs like 50 white dollars or something.
Right. The funniest of them all was Tracy Morgan in a dress, a sleeveless little dainty dress, kind of dancing around. And he leans up against the wall and goes, I'm a Danish girl. And he lifts up his hand and he's eating like a cheese Danish.
It's so stupid. But it was funny.
These Danishes are good. That was funny.
It was funny. It was dumb. It was dumb and funny.
Yeah.
What about the fashion? Anything do anything for you?
You know what? I haven't really been paying that much attention.
Let's go live to Andrea in Hollywood.
Let's go to Andrea in Hollywood.
Andrea in Hollywood again. Who do you like?
I love Charlize Theron. Beautiful red low-cut dress. I liked Olivia Munn in a bright orange color dress.
What it looked like to me with Olivia Munn is that if she took two pieces of duct tape and like started at her shoulder and went down across her...
Her boobage
area.
Guys.
Covered her nippleage area.
Yeah.
And then further down. That's she was basically topless.
Beautiful color, though. Wouldn't you guys think? Were you guys looking at the color?
I don't even know. No, I'm colorblind. I'm colorblind. I don't see color. I just see boobs.
Wasn't Olivia Newton-John's white?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Jennifer Garner, and I thought Julianne Moore looked very pretty,
looked
too.
Very pretty. She did.
And anything that you thought was the moment of the night, because for me, the Gaga song was the moment of the night.
I thought that was the best moment of the entire Oscars.
Yeah,
Gaga singing till it was you. What's the name of her nominated song? It's the song about sexual abuse.
Yeah, I don't have it in front of me.
And rape. I'll find it here in a second. But it's a very, very poignant song in which while she was singing it, I mean, she is such an amazingly talented vocalist. When she was singing the song, actual people who have been sexually abused and have come forward to talk about it came on the stage with her, and they held hands together and they raised their arms in the air together. Vice President Biden introduced Lady Gaga, which was... for an auditorium filled with Hollywood liberals, you know, you can't get much better than that.
Till it happens to you.
Till it happens to you. Which was amazing. That was supposed to win Best Original Song last night, and that was one of the big surprises that it did not, in that the Sam Smith song, Writings on the Wall from the James Bond movie, wound up winning.
And what do you make of Stallone not winning?
You and I have talked about this so many times that
Mark Rylance, brilliant.
Mark Rylance should win. Sylvester Stallone would win because we thought that Hollywood would give him the sympathy vote and a career achievement vote. they did not. They went for who they thought was actually the best supporting actor. I've been saying all along I thought that he was, but I did predict Sylvester Stallone because I thought Hollywood would go that way. Those were the two big shockers last night. But Spotlight, Leo DiCaprio finally, after six nominations, gets his Best Actor.
I'm the king of the world!
Yes, he is today.
Yeah,
he is.
Yeah, that's right.
Brie Larson gets Best Actress. Alicia Vikander from The Danish Girl. That's a good Danish girl. Wins Best Supporting Actor, Mark Rylance, of course. And the most awards of the night, six awards, went to Mad Max Fury Road, yes. all technical awards. But you didn't like that movie? Really?
Never saw it. I'm judging without seeing it.
Oh, well, that's okay then.
Okay. That's what I do. I judge without basis in fact.
Yeah, I thought it was one of the best of the year, especially if you saw it on big screen. It was absolutely amazing, but that one wound up winning the most awards of the night.
All right, well, go get a nap, will you?
Pretty soon. Won't be long now.
Yeah. All right, thanks, buddy.
Bye.
8:29, we're back with the big story next. And before we finish up this broadcast today, we continue to try to make our effort complete to return to the United Kingdom and live under the thumb of the Queen. Paul Coit will join us as we have a new suggestion of how Paul will accept us back home. We just want to come home. Home to England. It's 8:29 and 7:20 WGN. It's 8:40. This is Steve Cochran. Before we get to this weekend in Donald Trump, which we'll do before 10 o'clock, I want to bring back my friend Paul Coit. Paul Coit is live in London on social media. He's at Coity, C-O-Y-T-E-Y. And he is our best hope at this point for what I like to call Plan B. So I love this country like you love this country, like Dave loves this country. Adam Chappelle, how do you feel about this country?
Yeah, it's fair enough.
You nailed it. Finally. Steve Grzanich loves this country. Ross loves this country. We all love this country. But if you are going to elect a President Trump, and when I say you know who I'm talking to. If you're going to elect a President Trump and allow the country to burn to the ground, we have to have a Plan B. And Plan B is cut and run. We go back to England. We tell England we're sorry. And the Queen takes us back because we're going to need someplace to go. And we've been working on Paul Coit, our emissary in London, to try to get us back in good graces. After all, it was 1776. I mean, we are talking about 250 years ago. I would think we could move on from this point. But Paul, you'd have to tell us. I guess it's 240 years ago. 240 years ago. Paul, has our apology been accepted, or has it fallen on deaf ears so far?
No apology. You know, we always work with an apology. I'm more than happy with an apology. That's all it takes. An apology is what this country is all about. You apologize to us. We'll then apologize back to you just because it's polite. And then come in. And away you come. A huge drawbridge across the Atlantic Ocean. Welcome. Come on in.
All right. Now, we thought...
We'll forget everything.
We thought at first it would only be a few of us. It'd be those of us from the show and all of the listeners. Yeah. But that's a lot. I mean, we're talking about...
It's a lot.
You know, what, a half million people, maybe more? Where would you put us? Would we be in the English countryside?
Well, I think there's some beautiful English countryside we could put you in. There's plenty of that around. Scotland, right in the north of Scotland, there's some clear spaces there, which would probably hold a couple of thousand. Listen, you know, as long as you don't mind living very tightly packed together, we're more than happy to have you. More than happy to have you. What would you expect from us, though? What would you want from us, though?
Well, we'd like to not drive on the wrong side of the road. We'd like you guys to drive on the correct side of the road.
See, this is what we're worried about. We welcome you over with open arms, and already you start dictating terms. This has to change.
You have to
drive on. Well, I don't even know what side of the side we drive on. I think we drive on the left. Is that
yes,
right?
That's correct. You're on the left. We're on the right.
It's the opposite to you.
Yes,
that's right. So you just do our thing, and then that will be fine. That's all you need to do. It's just the driving thing.
All right. Well,
nice and apologize every now and again.
Can we get coffee, or is it just tea still? I'm sorry to interrupt. I just was...
No, it's tea.
Still tea.
Oh, it's tea. Right. Isn't it tea? It's tea.
No coffee at all?
No, we do. No, we have a nice cup of tea in the morning. So you wake up and you have a nice cup of tea, and then you can have a nice cup of coffee a little bit later on. but mainly tea, and then you'll have a little cup of tea in the afternoon, and maybe one little bit later after you've had your dinner or your tea. So you have a cup of tea after you've had your tea.
And you wonder why your teeth are bad. All right, so...
Well, I don't think he heard that.
So here's the thing.
I did hear that. I heard that. I just ignored it. Thank you very much.
I received a note from Paul that says there is one bump in the road, and the bump in the road is before the Queen accepts us back under her thumb, we have to, and I guess I understand this, we have to take the official British citizenship test.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So what if we were to have you back later in the week to give us the test and grade it?
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. But have you got enough time to study for it? Because obviously it's not something I would take lightly and something we're going to mess around with. If you're going to, if you only get one shot at this, you can't. If you only get one shot at this, so if you're going to have a go, fair enough, we'll try it out. But and if you get it wrong, then we probably have to wait another year until you have another one.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're going to take it seriously, Steve, I'm happy to go.
No, of course I take it seriously. You got the cute little parliament thing going on. You got some Tories. You got some Lords.
Some
you got
Whigs.
A bunch of stuff.
That's it.
Yeah, you got that going on.
10 Downing Street, Hugh Grant.
You call soccer football. I mean, what else do we need to know?
Not much, really.
How to make bangers and mash.
Bangers and
mash. Is that as well? Well, yes, is that. How do you make bangers and mash?
Bangers and mash is actually the morning show on BBC Two. Yeah, a lot of people don't know
fish
that.
And chips.
Yeah, they did the morning show.
Listen, if there's an and involved in the food, then you're there. That's all you have to worry about. It's something and something, and then you're okay. So, but seriously, we are going to take the test very, very seriously because it's not something I mess around with.
I mean, I'm not saying this is on the test, but what would a British history question be?
Well, you'd probably have a question. I always like to throw in a question about King Henry VIII. He was the large fella who had lots of his wives' heads chopped off.
Yeah.
Do you know how many wives King Henry VIII had? Do you know exactly that? King Henry VIII and he's how many wives?
I'm going to go to Andre on this one.
My guess would be seven.
I believe he had six.
Six? No. 375 wives.
He did not.
375.
That's not true at all.
Is that in the song Henry VIII?
No, Henry VIII is not part of this. 375 wives.
375 wives.
That's what Larry King goes. Larry King goes, hey, Hank, you're going too fast here. I'm sorry, Paul, what?
75 wives. Well, there's 375 wives, and there's a very easy way to remember it, I think, at school, and it's a song. And you sing through all the 375 wives, and it's about the same length of the song as the full version of Stairway to Heaven. So it does take a while, but there's a lot of wives. And I think Miriam was the third. That's all
Miriam.
I remember for now.
Yeah, Miriam. Yes. Yeah, and I think Miriam repeats somewhere in the 60s or 70s.
That's correct. That's absolutely right.
All right, I'm gonna have you work this out with Kevin as to when you're back, but later in the week we will take the British citizenship test. I guess that means I'm showing up every day this week again. Every day. Every week. It's 5 days. It's unbelievable. So, Kevin, you and Paul work out when Paul will be back, and we'll all take the test. And, you know, he'll give us a shortened version of the test so we can accomplish it on the air. You know, maybe five
questions.
What,
you want a shorter version? So
well, we got to be able to get it done during... We've got to be able to get it done in the constraints of the show. So, you know, maybe five questions or something. Something like that.
With subsections. Not just five straight questions.
No.
What kind of a test is this? You want to become a British citizen and ask five little questions about bangers and mash? Is that how you're going to do it?
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
If you want it, that's fine. But, you know, it's up to you.
That's what I want. So hold the line. That's Paul Coit. And,
yes,
of course, proud spokesperson for the Tottenham Hotspur Football Club.
Yeah, and he's grading these. There were six wives of Henry VIII, and two were executed.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Adam Chappelle, good for you. Nicely done by you.
Fair enough.
It's 8:47. Let's get to your traffic now. Chappelle is in for Mary Vandeville. What do you got now?
We won the evangelicals. We won with young. We won with old. We won with highly educated. We won with poorly educated. I love the poorly educated.
He's not going to take any crap from anybody.
He has no filter.
I think he's the only candidate on the Republican side who's actually going to build a wall.
Look at the people that are coming across the border illegally.
are the vast majority reputable people that want to give to the community.
Do you want a president in there that really walks on eggshells and not wanting to hurt this community or that community?
Bum the f- out of him. He's not going to take any crap from anybody.
I love the poorly educated.
I think he's going to help with the ISIS. He can't tell us right now.
All if
right.
he tells everybody, then the next thing you know, somebody else is going to copy what he says.
Why I like Trump is he's not a politician.
He says a lot of things that we probably are thinking or want to say.
I love the poorly educated.
At 8:52, the Steve Cochran Show continues with This Weekend in Trump, soon to be a highly sponsored feature, I'm sure, under the new President Trump. The weekend began on Friday with a stunning announcement, as former rival to Donald Trump, Governor Chris Christie from New Jersey, at a time you might have thought he would go back to New Jersey and try to repair his broken state. Oh, no. He showed up in Texas, and he said,
"The best person to beat Hillary Clinton in November is undoubtedly Donald Trump."
This is confusing to me, very confusing, because I remember a time when he said something completely different than that. We may have it.
I'm really glad that Donald noticed me. That's so nice. And I'm happy to take any observations he has, even if he can only do them in 140 characters or less, which seems to be the best way he can communicate. So that's fine.
It's just one of those things that I'm sure I'm confused. It's probably not Chris Christie, but I swear he said a lot of things.
I don't think his temperament is suited for that, and I don't think his experience is. He's got great experience in doing things in business. But I'll give you a perfect example. If he doesn't get what he wants from John Boehner, he can't fire him. Yeah, you can't say, "Mr. Speaker, you're fired."
It's weird to make fun of the guy and then suck up to him. Again, maybe it's me.
Showtime is over, everybody. We are not electing an entertainer-in-chief. Showmanship is fun, but it's not the kind of leadership that will truly change America.
The thing is, Chris Christie apparently wants to be the vice president, or he apparently wants to be the attorney general. Or maybe because of his law enforcement background, he knows that he still has legal trouble coming up and he'd like a pardon from President Trump. Either way, it's nothing short of embarrassing. And he showed up with George Stephanopoulos this weekend. We've posted the clip on social media, at Twitter, which is at Cochran Show, or Facebook.com, Steve Cochran Show. A full 12-minute spectacular of Chris Christie trying to explain his flip-flopping.
And
I
love,
Donald
and
Trump.
Stephanopoulos just kept hammering him. It's a great interview, he said, but you disagree with him on
everything.
Pretty much everything.
Meg Whitman is the former Hewlett-Packard executive who was a top supporter of Governor Christie's presidential campaign. When the campaign ended, they went their separate ways. They were good friends. Meg Whitman on Sunday criticized Christie for supporting Trump, saying it is the height of political opportunism. Here's the statement. Chris Christie's endorsement of Donald Trump is an astonishing display of political opportunism. Donald Trump is unfit to be president, she said. He's a dishonest demagogue who plays to our worst fears. Trump would take America on a dangerous journey. Christie knows all that and indicated as much many times publicly. The governor, Christie, is mistaken if he believes he can now count on my support. And I call on Christie's donors, and keep in mind, she was the primary rainmaker for Christie. I call on Christie's donors and supporters to reject the governor and Donald Trump outright. I believe they will. For some of us, principle and country still matter. But that wasn't the end of This Weekend in Donald Trump. Trump appeared with Jake Tapper, where he was thrown what should have been a softball. And the softball amounted to a question that a child could have answered. Could have answered without hesitation and directly. Here's how that went.
I want to ask you about the Anti-Defamation League, which this week called on you to publicly condemn unequivocally the racism of former KKK Grand Wizard David Duke, who recently said that voting against you at this point would be treason to your heritage. Will you unequivocally condemn David Duke and say that you don't want his vote or that of other white supremacists in this election?
Well, just so you understand, I don't know anything about David Duke, okay? I don't know anything about what you're even talking about with white supremacy or white supremacists. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Did he endorse me or what's going on? Because, you know, I know nothing about David Duke. I know nothing about white supremacists. And so you're asking me a question that I'm supposed to be talking about people that I know nothing about.
But I guess the question from the Anti-Defamation League is, even if you don't know about their endorsement, there are these groups and individuals endorsing you. Would you just say, unequivocally you condemn them and you don't want their support?
Well, I have to look at the group. I mean, I don't know what group you're talking about. You wouldn't want me to condemn a group that I know nothing about. I have to look. If you would send me a list of the groups, I will do research on them. And certainly I would disavow if I thought there was something wrong. But you may have groups in there that are totally fine, and it would be very unfair. So give me a list of the groups, and I'll let you know.
Okay. I mean, I'm just talking about David Duke and the Ku Klux Klan here, but...
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know David Duke. I don't believe I've ever met him. I'm pretty sure I didn't meet him. And I just don't know anything about him.
The subtext there is, if he did endorse you and you did know about it, that would make it okay? I think the words Ku Klux and Klan all would pretty much be all you'd need to hear that you don't want anything close to that.
Well, that's all he would have had to have said. If he in fact didn't know who David Duke was.
And by the way, how could you be that stupid?
I know. But if he didn't, I mean, giving him the huge benefit of the doubt, all he would have to say is, I disavow any white supremacist group, specifically the Ku Klux Klan.
Donald Trump, the next president of the United States. Now you wonder why we're going back to England? It's 8:57. More in a moment on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
Before we get to Adam Hoge and the Bears Combine News and the Combine News in general and Tom Brady sticking around with the Patriots, which was a real shocker. I thought the Bears might be able to make a deal for him. The toughest guy of the weekend, and we wish him well, is 43-year-old Jason Bone, PGA Tour longstanding. Good guy, a guy that has never really made a huge name for himself, made a bunch of money. I think he's won once or twice. But he shot 72 on Friday and made the cut while he was having a heart attack on the golf course. He is resting comfortably in a hospital, I believe, in Atlanta now. Though I'm not quite sure why he ended up in Atlanta when he was having a heart attack in Florida. But at any rate, Bone had his left ventricle, 99% blocked, the Widowmaker artery. The main artery to your heart that'll kill you. 99% blocked. The stent was placed, and he'll be in the hospital for a few days, but he apparently is going to be fine.
So
but
he's again, having a heart attack.
Again, yeah, I want to point out, he shot 72 while he was having a major heart attack.
You know, I think that qualifies him
for the Masters.
Honorary membership as an NHL player.
No kidding.
Right?
And every major for the rest of his life since the heart attack was major. All right, is Adam Hoge ready to join us? He is. All right, Adam Hoge joins us now. By the way, speaking of tough, and you know how much I like Adam, Dave.
Yes.
And Adam, you're not listening now, are you?
No.
Okay, good. So I'm listening to Adam Hoge and Mark Harmon doing the beat, which I guess was probably Saturday afternoon. Was it Saturday afternoon you were doing the beat?
Yeah, we did it Saturday and Sunday this week.
Okay, you're not listening, though, right now.
No, I'm not listening.
Okay. And I heard an extended discussion about the about how good Fuller House the TV show was.
Yes.
Jason Bone had a major heart attack on the golf course. You're covering the Combine, and you're worried about the Fuller House show?
Actually, I thought you were having me on this morning to break down the first eight episodes, which I managed to watch over the weekend.
And then Carmen tossed in with something else. Oh, this is what Mark Carmen said. You know that show Girls on HBO? I love that show.
Okay. See, this is
yeah, that show,
this I is think, your this is, department.
I know. This is where your sports department. Talk has gone.
Your department, Dave Ennett. No. There needs to be a meeting.
I'm washing my hands of this.
Hey, leave me alone. Next week, it's going to be what's your favorite candy bar.
Is that right? I thought the weird part was with, because Hoge is in good shape. You know, he's a thin guy. He goes, I just feel bloated and moody.
Well, hey, first of all, Carmen didn't know the theme song to Full House. And I don't care if you watch the show, didn't watch the show, don't care about the show. You're not American if you don't know the theme song to Full House.
Adam, I have no idea what the theme song to Full House is.
Oh, come on.
Do you?
Kevin, find me the theme song to Full House.
Kevin's maybe when I hear it.
Honestly,
do you guys know? Am I?
Just said, no, it's not one that comes readily to mind.
Come on, Cochran. You're, sure, you're recognize worldly. It. You don't know it, do you?
No, I really don't.
No.
I can't believe this right now.
All right.
What Whatever happened to predictability? The milkman, the paper boy, evening TV. Did I get delivered here? Somebody tell me, please. This whole world confuses me.
You're right. It's sort of Stairway to Heaven. How could you?
Boy,
no,
I still it's
right up there.
Still doesn't ring a bell.
No, I mean I've heard it.
Nothing. But that's,
no, well,
nothing.
Maybe a slight blip. Thank God you know football because you are useless to us in so many ways.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot in my life.
All right, let's talk about the combine. Other than the big lineman who had a problem, a wardrobe malfunction where his little lineman fell out of his shorts, what was the news that was made over the weekend?
I've only watched that video 30 times, by the way.
Yeah.
Me too.
Fantastic. Yeah, okay, so I think the big storylines over the weekend were the quarterbacks, which we can get into, but really I think Jalen Smith, the linebacker from Notre Dame, which we talked about last week when I was in Indy, and that was the day where he was going to go into his medicals and find out how bad it really was, and or he probably knew, but the teams were going to find out how bad it really was. And for those that don't know, Jalen Smith suffered a torn ACL and LCL in the Fiesta Bowl and was one of the top prospects in the draft. And as I alluded to when I was on with you guys last week, the fears about the LCL, there have been some concerns that there is nerve damage, and Ian Rappaport from the NFL Network did report that teams are concerned about the nerve damage, and they don't think he's going to be able to play at all in 2016, which will significantly reduce his draft stock. And there could even be fears, because I've had the name Marcus Lattimore brought up to me multiple times. For those that don't remember him, he was an outstanding running back at South Carolina. Similar injury, it was a little bit worse. He basically did everything wrong that you could do to a knee in one injury, and he ended up never playing in the NFL. And so I think that's sort of where – that's worst-case scenario right now for Jalen Smith, and you hope it's not that bad because he's a good kid, good player, and the NFL's better off if he's playing in it.
The concern going forward, though, is the number of holes that have to be filled, right?
In terms of what?
The roster for the Bears.
Oh, for the Bears, yes.
I'm going back to the Bears.
No, that's what I assume you were doing. And yes, there are, especially on defense, holes everywhere. The good news is the Bears have 9 draft picks, which is tied for the most in the NFL. And it would not surprise me if they end up adding one or two more by late April. So there are going to be plenty of guys that they can draft. And I think a big question is, do they draft a quarterback? Because another thing we learned in Indianapolis is that the Bears used a number of their 60 allotted interviews with prospects on sort of middle-tier quarterbacks, guys that you're probably not picking in the first round, but might be taking later on. And a name that interests me, and I'm interested to hear, Davey, what you have to say about this guy, too, is Christian Hackenberg, the quarterback at Penn State, who
you saw a lot of
very we saw him this year at Ryan Field, and I don't think he played that great, but I actually came away from that game more impressed with his potential for the NFL than I thought, because he had a terrible offensive line. He's not very mobile, and that offense didn't suit him that well. And by the way, Ryan Pace, the general manager for the Bears, was in attendance for that game.
The question you wonder about, because he certainly looked when he first emerged as a guy, he's a can't miss NFL quarterback. He's got the size, he's got the arm, but he got his brains beat out for a couple of years at Penn State. And I mean, he took a real pounding last few years. And so you just wonder what kind of lingering effects from that there might be in terms of just having been just really taking a beating. I'm not talking about physical damage to him. I'm just talking about whether from a confidence standpoint and how it may have affected him.
So how's he doing between the years?
Yeah.
But is he the guy they constantly compare to Andrew Luck?
I've heard him compared to Jay Cutler.
Oh, more to Cutler.
Bears fans feel too good about the draft pick that if the Bears went after him.
Big arm, that kind of game?
Oh, huge arm.
Yeah,
huge arm.
Very talented passer.
Not a mobile quarterback, but a guy who can use his feet if needed. I've actually been more surprised. He actually had a good combine. I mean, people describe Christian Hackenberg as stiff and he can't move around at all. He was one of the better performers running the 40-yard dash, which surprised me. So I think he's a little bit more mobile than he showed at Penn State, probably because he was constantly being hit and sacked. I like his potential. I don't think he should end up in a situation where he has to play next year. And there's been a lot of talk about him going to Houston, where Bill O'Brien is, because Bill O'Brien was his head coach his freshman year at Penn State. And that makes a lot of sense. The problem there is I think he would have to play for the Texans right away because their quarterback situation is terrible. I actually like him with the Bears because he could spend 2 years developing before he needs to play.
So what's the feel? Is it going to happen? I mean, the pick's high enough, right?
They would have to probably pick him in the second round. I don't think he gets out of the second. So then that's a question, too, is do you, if you're a Bears fan, we just talked about all the holes they need to fill, especially on defense. Can they afford to waste one of their first two draft picks on a quarterback? And I think that's a very valid question. And if they do, that guy better turn out and be a pretty good player.
So tomorrow is the deadline for applying the franchise tag, all indications are that's where the Bears are headed. They've got till when to do that, Adam, with
there's Elshon. a 3 o'clock deadline tomorrow.
Okay.
And it's my understanding that the two sides are still negotiating. This thing might come down to the wire. It's in the Bears' interest to get this thing locked up because you want to know where you stand, not only for this coming year. He's going to be a Bear in 2016, but you want to know. It could change your free agency plans, your NFL draft plans, if you are skeptical that he's going to be part of your team beyond just one season, right? So it's in the Bears, if they want to keep him long term, and obviously they're actively negotiating, that means they want to sign him to an extension. It's best for the Bears if they get this thing done by 3 o'clock tomorrow. I don't know if that's going to happen, but they are talking. And if it doesn't happen, they'll franchise tag him, and they'll have till July to work out a deal.
The guy compared to Andrew Luck all weekend on the NFL Network, I think, may have been Carson Wentz. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I like Wentz a lot. He's from North Dakota State. Not a whole lot of guys have seen him play because North Dakota State's not exactly on your television every single weekend. But he is – a lot of people are going to say he's not – pro-ready because he played at the FCS level and played against lesser competition. He might actually, in my opinion, be the most pro-ready because he's one of these few quarterbacks that was actually in a pro offense under center all the time, which a lot of these other guys, like Jared Goff, who I like a lot, he was in the shotgun most of his career.
Right.
So I like Carson Wentz
a
lot.
Well, we know somebody on staff that actually saw Carson Wentz play live in a very painful afternoon. Let's go live to Kevin now. Mm-hmm. Kevin, you saw him play where?
Yeah, I'll start by saying fear the burr, but it was the division FCS national championship game a couple years ago. Carson Wentz orchestrated a drive with about 80 seconds left remaining in the game to top my Redbirds 29-27. Devastating.
So you think he's a fine quarterback and you'd like bad things to happen to him in the NFL?
A little bitter, a little mm-hmm. bitter, but
what
he's
if he's
a,
on, what if he's on the
player.
Bears?
Oh, yeah, look him on the Bears.
Okay. You can see the Adam Hogue Bears Mock Draft 2.0 and his teary breakdown over the Fuller House theme song all at WGNradio.com, right?
Absolutely. I might actually write something up just for you, Steve, on Fuller House.
That'd be great. Can you get that to me today? That'd be fantastic.
Sure.
Thank you, buddy.
You think you know people, right?
Right.
You think you know them really well.
Again, dude, it's your department. You have lost control of this department. I don't know what's
going on.
How do you
think I feel?
And I'm not sure I wasn't more disturbed about Mark Carman loving Girls on HBO. By the way, if you don't know the show Girls, it's not written for boys. It's a show about awkward girls trying to figure out their lives.
See, that didn't shock me at all.
922, more in a moment on 720 WGN. Congratulations to your Chicago Blackhawks. A great statement win yesterday over the Eastern Conference leading Washington Capitals, who had the best record of the NHL. The Caps dominated the first period. Corey Crawford stood on his head, was great. The Hawks were really good in the second period and then got a quick goal in the third period, really off a Caps mistake as much as anything else. But then the Hawks had a couple of silly penalties late in the game that could have caused big problems. One power play goal made it 3-2. and then held on for the 3-2 win. It could very, very, very easily be a preview of the Stanley Cup final. Wouldn't shock me at all to see those two teams in the Stanley Cup final. Though the Caps have a history of choking in the playoffs. And I believe have only been to one final and they were swept.
Correct.
I think that's right. But, you know, I was there yesterday, and again, the Hawks, when they're playing the best, they amp their game up, and they're never better. It's when they're playing a team that's a little bit down on their luck or whatever that maybe they get a little sloppy in spots.
But that's why you feel good about how they will do in the playoffs.
Right. Well, you remember last year. Last year, it was maybe right around this time. It might have even been a little earlier, maybe December or January. Early on, maybe not. And the closer they got to the playoffs, the better their game got. And every round of the playoffs, they were strong.
But they didn't – I don't know. I've heard a couple people suggest, some of the national observers.
What are they?
That this team –
You're talking about the NHL experts? What do they know that we don't know?
But that this team now is better than they were at this time last year.
Yeah.
And certainly with the moves the last few days.
I think that's true. And when you look at how Stan Bowman put on his wizard hat and did all the deals he's done this weekend, the Fleischman kid who came in from Montreal, his line mate, who's got a visa problem but should be here in a matter of a few days.
Dale Weiss.
Right. And obviously Andrew Ladd, who was on the show on Friday. Ladd will be a free agent at the end of the year. So after they win their next Stanley Cup, it becomes a huge math problem for Stan again. But I think Stan likes math.
Evidently. He's pretty good at it.
He's really good at it. Yeah.
He actually offered to balance your checkbook, if you like.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. And you know what happened? The LifeLock team came over and roughed him up. Said, get your hands off his checkbook. Right. Speaking of great athletes, Dave, where will you be in a coming Sunday?
Can you believe 6 days away, Steve? It's the American Lung Association's Fight for Air Climb, presented by United Healthcare at Presidential Towers in the West Loop. It's Chicago's biggest stair climb. You can join us and climb 1, 2, 3, or all 4 of the Presidential Towers. If you climb all 4, that's 180 floors, 2,340 steps, and you'll be helping to improve your own lung health and also help a great cause to the American Lung Association.
So do we sponsor floors, steps, general chunk of change? How do you do it?
Well, you can make a pledge in support of our team. You can go online at fightforairclimb.org.
Fightforairclimb.org, and then how do we find your team?
Or go to WGNradio.com, the events page, you'll find it there. We have the In It to Win It team, of course, once again this year. And it's actually, the team is pretty big. We don't have competing teams within WGN Radio. We're all on one team.
Because Patty would have beat you like a rented mule.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So but you Patty's on your team now.
Sure, we're on the same team.
Okay.
Fightforairclimb.org or call 312-781-1100.
I'm proud of you, man. You did this last year. Doing it again. You're the captain. You're the leader, but you're in the game.
In the game. That's what it's
exactly right. You're not seeing me doing it. Sure, I'm out there helping people all the time, but I'm not climbing the steps. I'm watching you climb. All I'm doing is giving money. You're out there doing it, and I bet you're giving money, too. I bet you're doing both.
Going to do both.
You know what I've come to? You know the only thing I can conclude after this conversation? Dave is a better man than I am.
Well, I mean, don't go that far.
Steve, am I a better man than you?
No.
I'm doing it,
no,
too.
No, absolutely not, Kevin.
Yeah, Ken's doing it.
Yeah, whatever. It's 9:30. We'll come back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN.
Steve Cochran Show, number 597. Stevie Awards. Tell us any Stevie Award you'd like us to have on next Monday's Stevie Awards presentation. Now that all the other lesser award shows are done, we can actually have the Stevies. We have several categories that we've already taken care of, but we have some Stevie Award suggestions from the listeners as well.
So are you going to announce the nominees for the Stevies?
Nominees won't be announced till Friday. We're taking suggestions for nominees all week long. So, again, there's so many things the audience remembers about this show that we don't even remember.
Yeah. So we'll announce the nominees on Friday and then the winners on Monday.
Yes.
Who's voting?
Me.
Okay.
Yeah, me. From the 630 Best Guest, how about the old coach who was on hold for 4 hours insulting me?
Oh, I love that guy. What was his name?
Coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, Coach.
Like that guy.
847, Steve, how about the No Doubt Award? Based on your hatred for Gwen Stefani, it can be handed out as kind of a booby prize. The recipient doesn't even know that it's a bad award. It would just be called the No Doubt Award. We could have the Terrible Person Award.
That, yeah, because then...
Gwen Stefani's a terrible person.
Because a terrible person, and then that would be an additional category to Worst Guest.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I'm writing that down. Terrible Person Award. A lot of people think, you know, this is something that happened between me and Gwen Stefani 20 years ago. I should let it go. Mm-hmm. No. Let's see. From the 815, how about an award for your granddaughter, baby Abigail, for the youngest participant on the Community Christian Church video? I didn't even know this happened. It's my church.
Oh.
She was on a video.
You should be her agent. You kidding me? She should be getting royalties.
I had to pay her a talent fee for using her for jokes on New Year's Eve.
Did you?
She was only 2 weeks old. I mean, that sounded terrible. I didn't use her for jokes. She was 2 weeks old. She wasn't there. I made reference to her several times.
She wasn't the butt of your jokes.
And the talent fee I used, or I gave her, was actually for her college
fund. For her college fund, yes.
847, I'd like to nominate myself for best Blackhawk fan. Well, we're going to need more than that. Like, if you're best listener, there could be a best Blackhawk fan category. But there also is a best listener. If you're the best listener, why are you the best listener?
Right. Okay. Or the best Blackhawks fan would maybe be, not that they can win, but the couple that honeymooned, remember last year?
Oh, yeah.
They took their honeymoon going to all the Blackhawks
games.
Cool.
Yeah.
Are we going to do a best puck in the pants?
Oh, that might be a good one, too.
It's a good one, Dave. That's a really good one.
Best good puck in the pants. Yeah.
Boy, we got some strong nominees for that.
Got a lot of nominees.
Stevie, for music, could or should go to any of the high school choirs you focus on at Christmas. That's a really nice way to do it, but then John will pout.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
John Acosta, musical director.
We could do Who's Won the Most Pools Amongst Us All, amongst our team here.
6-3-0, I think the best segment on the show is Kale Talk with Dave Ennett.
There you go.
Go catch.
So I have a chance.
Who texted that, Dave?
No.
The best segment is Kale Talk?
It doesn't say here, it just says Ennett Family.
No.
Karen Ennett.
No, she's not a big Kale fan.
This is interesting. How about worst Steve moment? Like something I did that was really, you know.
Like when you screamed Kevin during the news that one time?
That was not a great moment for me. Worst Steve moment.
Oh, however will we find those?
Possibly having something to do with shoes.
Oh, and I came in with different size shoes on.
Yeah.
Different
shoes.
Actually, they were different size. Actually, you know what? They were different size. One was an 11. One was an 11 and a half. One was brown and one was black.
Yeah.
And by the way, the only reason I get dressed in the dark, any questions? The only reason I knew it was that they were completely different, I walked out. It felt kind of funny. And I was walking in a hallway here at the Tribune Tower. And the floors, it's, you know, architecturally, the building's a masterpiece, except for the plumbing. And I was walking on the floors, and I go, this feels funny. I look down, there are two completely different shoes. By the way, don't even look that much alike.
No, no, no. What was the comment Ross made to you, it's hard to work with you when I have to work?
It's hard to work for you when I have to work with you.
Okay, so what did you say that led up to that?
Who knows?
Because that could be a Steve moment.
Who knows? The kid's got troubles.
No, I think he was right on.
It's the type of thing that, you know, I mean, it's the type of thing if it keeps up, it wouldn't surprise me if he left the show. From the 224, Stevie for best oops moment when Dean Richards accidentally swore on the air.
Oh, yeah, because he didn't say Chicago. He said something else.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Best listener, Abigail Grace. That's from her mother. So I don't know. I'm Lauren. I know your phone number. Good job by you.
Best youngest listener.
312, how about a best missed opportunity award? That was the time I was going to call you guys and hum a song that I remember from an old show, but I can't remember where it came from. How about that?
That's actually what we're looking for here. I like that one.
You know what I love? I love when the listeners are as asinine as I am. That just amuses me to death. 815, best puck in the pants. We haven't heard that yet.
Okay, well, great minds.
Tom Skilling with a puck in my pants.
That's a good one.
Hi, I'm Ed Obradovich, and I have a puck in my pants.
From the 708 in the Stevie Awards, best Steve Trump meltdown.
Oh,
I don't
think
I've had any of those.
You've had so many. How are we going to narrow that down?
This is good. 608, best delivery, Mrs. Ross Cochran.
Oh, yeah, literally, strong. Yeah.
That's strong.
Good. That's good.
Best fill-in host? Well, I thought you and Dave did the show.
Oh, yeah. We had a good time. Yeah, yeah. We had fun.
Yeah. So there you go. Those are some of the ideas. Texters 312-981-7200. We'll take all of these. We'll announce all week long. And then on Friday, we'll announce what the final nominations and categories are, and then we'll announce the winners on Monday. All the winners will be presented with the coveted Stevie Award, which is a piece of paper with my face on it, with the award on my forehead.
Frameable. Fit for frameable. Framing.
Yeah, we have celebrity presenters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
I'm going to write that down. Celebrity presenters. But Kevin, it's going to be a busy work week for you.
Sorry, Kev.
Like a cold coming on.
Maybe we can just have one celebrity presenter, and then that person could present all the awards.
At 9:48, we anticipated a big Southside event today, but they haven't showed up.
They're not here yet?
No, they're not here.
They better
run
get
out
here.
Of time.
Better get here.
Now, they are who?
They are the original Rainbow Cone. It's an ice cream cone with six different flavors on top, just like you see in the video and the ads and online. Most delicious ice cream you'll ever have.
And they're opening when?
Their grand reopening is March 5th, and they're celebrating their 90th year.
Are they friends
of yours? Chicago. No, I just am a big fan of Rainbow Cones. If you grew up on the South Side, you grew up with Rainbow Cones.
Yeah. Apparently they don't own clocks or cell phones, because not only are they not here for their free plug.
Oh, they're in the lobby.
They're here now?
Yeah, someone just texted me and said, we're in the lobby. I'm assuming that's them.
Okay,
I don't know
the
lobby. Phone number.
All right, good. So apparently they do have a clock and a cell phone. All right, so let's bring them in for the final segment of the show. It's 9:49, and I'm sure they have websites and ice cream that we can get to. It's 9:49. Now, somebody just, gave me the sign here that was an awkward. That's not an awkward moment. If you're 10 minutes late for your guest slot, I'm going to give you a hard time. That's all.
Oh, yeah.
It's 9:49. We're back after this on 720 WGN. Never seen Andrea happier. Never, ever seen her happier. The Rainbow Cone people have arrived.
I'm always happy. But I'm really happy.
Introduce our guest.
This is Lynn Sapp, the owner of Rainbow Cone, and Brian. They are owners of the original Rainbow Cone in Beverly, 91st and Western. Anybody from the South Side knows this is a staple.
And Lynn, what does Brian do for you? Runs a joint?
Yes, absolutely. He's the manager.
If you need help, because Andrea may come over and work.
I might, for free.
Tip that mic up just a little bit so it points right at your mouth. Thank you, sir. All right, Lynn, who started the company?
My grandpa Joe and Catherine in 1926, so this is our 90th year.
And how old were you when you first started working there?
I was in a playpen in the back room when I was young, because everybody was working the shop, and then started in seventh grade. So I think it was about 14, 15.
And the season runs from March until when?
Until November, depending on the weather.
That's a lot of rainbow cones.
That is a lot of rainbow cones, hopefully.
And what's on the menu? Rainbow cones and what else?
We've got some feature flavors, cooking cream, cookie dough, black walnut, but the rainbow cone's still what we're looking for.
How do you both not weigh 900 pounds?
We work very hard.
So you eat the product, but you run it off all day.
I love the product. Everybody is like, you don't actually eat this. I love it. I really do. It's good.
And Brian, what's the secret to a good rainbow cone, or the rainbow cone, I guess?
The secret to it?
The wonderful flavors.
Yeah, probably just putting those flavors together and how well they all mix together.
Is there an order that matters, or you get what you put on there?
There's an order. It's chocolate, strawberry, Palmer House, pistachio, which is the ice cream, and then there's sherbet on top. So it's an ice cream and sherbet combination. So it's fresh fruit and nut, and makes it so unique, and the taste so great.
What's the Palmer House flavor?
It's a cherry walnut in a vanilla.
It's really good.
Yeah, and New York vanilla with cherries and walnuts, it says here.
And right. This is just me talking. You can't go in and just say, well, I'll just have chocolate or I'll just have sherbet. People do that, and that's cool. You'll let them do that, but you need to have all six flavors together.
Yeah, otherwise it's not a rainbow. Like
Exactly.
Seven-course meal in one sitting.
It is, though. I mean, when he opened up, people, it was 12 cents, and that was a lot of money. A blue plate of food was a dime. So he had put cherries and nuts in it to feed you. Because it was, nobody was worried about weight back then. They were worried about eating and getting, something good to eat.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
And, and you're way too young to understand that. You actually have food.
I do.
Yes. All right. Now, this is something. When you have a family business, the people that represent your business on the front line, they better be good. And, you know, one thing we find now, I don't want to sound like the old guy on the porch with lemonade, but one thing we find now is customer service is lacking. I've been told that you insist on great customer service.
We do. And our model is we take students. So we take young people, and this is their first job.
Teach them how to deal with people.
Exactly. You got to show up on time. You've got to come clean. And we take them from all over the city, and we're very blessed to have very great candidates. And, you know, everybody's got to be pleasant, nice, please and thank yous, and the basics, and that's not there anymore. You have to teach the basics now.
Do you have kids that worked for you or maybe friends of yours back in the day who come back home and, you know, maybe they're living somewhere else and they got to come by for a rainbow cone?
Oh, absolutely, including my family.
Well, there you go.
My brother lives in Utah, and it's just, you know, you walk in, where's the ice cream? I have to have the ice cream, you know.
Every summer you got to make the trip. At least one trip.
Now, are these, what'd you bring in? Are these pre-made?
No, Brian made them for you this morning, and we have smalls and large, and
have. Would you hand one to Andrea? She
well,
have the
come
first
on.
One.
No, you should have the first one.
No. You should have the first one. I have to talk.
You should have the. You can't get the small either. You got to get the large. Even the kids will say, "I want the large."
Well, we made you a couple sizes here so that we can pass them out. But that's a small rainbow.
There you go. There you go.
Thank
you know the good
you,
news
Brian.
Is?
Look at that.
We do have them in cups if you'd like one, too.
That's a small.
Yeah, a cup would be great. Cup would be great. A little easier to eat on the air.
Right, grab a cup.
Yeah, a cup would be fantastic.
But the flavors are sliced. They're not scooped. That makes them so different.
Thanks,
buddy. That's the five flavors, the chocolate, strawberry, Pomerol, Obsession, orange sherbet. And that's what we've been doing for 90 years at 9233 Western Avenue.
What did it
and
cost?
Brian's going to be scooping a lot of cones this summer.
What did it cost when the store opened?
They were 12 cents when the store opened in 1926.
And now they're $79.95 because they have to be?
I wish they were $79.
Yeah, right.
They're still a great deal.
You wouldn't need to be talking to me.
Right.
What is the website?
The website is Rainbow Original Rainbow Cone.
Original Rainbow Cone.
Or rainbowcone.com.
Both will bounce to the right place.
And we're on Twitter. And Michelle, our manager, our general manager, has done a fantastic job on Facebook. So visit us on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on all of it.
And is it like a Soup Nazi Seinfeld thing? If you don't know how to order, that Brian will come out and throw you out?
No, it's true. It is. If you don't.
you do have to know how to order. You can't go in and say, what do I want today?
Because you got a long line in the summertime. The last thing you want is somebody that's just browsing.
Yeah,
exactly. It's like you want rainbow, right? Here you go. Here's a rainbow.
Right. Small, large, or if you want a rainbow cake, just order and go.
Yeah, because there's a way to encourage people and still give them customer service.
Right. Don't ask for napkins. They'll give you napkins.
Otherwise, Brian will hit you.
But 90% of the people order rainbow.
Yeah.
Good
well,
to say.
You have to. You know?
Well, congratulations.
Thank
it's
you
It's a
very
great
much.
Chicago story.
So it's Rainbow's birthday. 90
yeah.
years.
It's how long? 80?
90. 1926. Wow. Catherine and Joe opened in a shack on Western Avenue.
And actually, the cup that you guys gave me is from the original opening.
It is, right?
Yeah. Congratulations. Love the story. And thank you
thank
guys
you.
For coming over.
Thank you for having
thanks
us.
Thanks, guys.
Right.
We'll take a break. Come back, Bill and Wendy, in a moment on 720 WGN. Bill and Wendy are here. You guys mind if I eat my rainbow cone?
No, go ahead. It's leap day.
It.
All bets are off.
Yeah, the rainbow cone that I'm having has all the six original flavors.
Oh. The original six.
I'm jealous.
It's really good.
Is that good?
Isn't that good? I know.
Not too fast. You'll get a brain freeze.
That's true.
You know how you get rid of it when you get it?
How do you get rid of a brain freeze?
I know the answer to this. You put your thumb on the top of your mouth.
Yes, or your tongue.
Or you can do your tongue too,
tickle the soft palate with your tongue.
And it makes your brain freeze go away?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really know why, but it does.
It has a warming effect on that part of your brain that registers brain freeze.
Are you guys doing medical segments all day today?
Not all day, most of the day, yeah. It's leap day,
take
that's what
that,
we
do. Dr. Gupta.
Eat it, Sanjay. All right, well, I'm just going to finish this, and I'll see you tomorrow.
All right.
Awesome.